This is the NTT IndyCar Series.
We're getting ready to go racing here on the streets of Long Beach.
Boy, they are slipping and sliding left and right, and Pato O'Ward spins right in turn number eight.
Now side by side, going to make contact with Canepino. That shuffles Joseph Newgarden in front.
From the back of the field, it is a traffic jam as everybody tries to make it through cleanly. Everybody does. Wow, what a restart.
The advance auto car checker flag flies, and for the first time, Kyle Kirkwood goes to victory lane.
Just won the Long Beach Grand Prix, buddy. Way to go. Let's go, Wolf.
With live flag-to-flag coverage from the streets of Long Beach, this is the IndyCar Radio Network.
It is one of North America's premier open-wheel events. Legendary race, legendary winners. Andretti, Munzer Jr., Zanardi, Montoya, Elio Castroneves, Dixon, and Newgarden. More recently, Herta, Rossi, and as you heard, Kyle Kirkwood. Who will win the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach today? Let's hear from many of the field in front 27. Let's welcome in Ryan Marine.
Joseph Newgarden is making his 200th career NTT IndyCar Series start today in Long Beach. And you've had some memorable races at Long Beach. Started on the outside of the front row as a rookie. You've won here. You've been on pole here. When you think of racing in Long Beach, what comes to mind?
That's a great track, historic. You know, definitely feel the history outside of the Indianapolis 500. My friends out over here are saying hi to me. But definitely good memories. I started my career in a good place here with speed, and I've always tried to bring speed to this racetrack, as you always do, and definitely enjoy my time. Love this atmosphere, love the crowd, and it's a fun track to drive. You know, very high speed for a street circuit, so I think we're in for a good show today.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Joseph Newgarden will start third today. Joining me in the pits for the first time in 2024, my pleasure to welcome in Joel Sebastianelli.
It's Ryan Will Power looking to put on a show from second. You're one of only two guys in the top 10 starting on the alternate tire. Why is that the move?
Yeah, I was surprised there wasn't more alternate tires. Could be a good move, man. Like, obviously, I got to attack pretty hard. I got to go. Try to get that lead and pull a gap because they're going to drop at the end. So we'll see. We'll know by the end of the first stint if it was a good move or a bad move. But, man, usually I was the one that started the black trend. Everyone using the primary tire, and then I guess maybe I'm starting a new trend if we win the race today, or maybe people start picking them again. But yeah, it was. I'll see what happens. It's always interesting in IndyCar. You know, you're looking at the toughest series in the world right now, so it's fun to be a part of it.
Well, he's back in the Fast Six again, looking to get back in victory lane for the first time since Detroit in 2022. Jonathan Grace is back with us on Pit Lane. Hello, Jonathan.
Colton Herta, welcome back to the streets of Long Beach. Andretti Machinery has typically gone well here. Your teammate Kyle Kirkwood won here last year. You won here before. Can you get it done from fourth on the grid?
Of course. Yeah, we're in prime spot. Got plenty of race to think it through and see what we want to do. Some interesting tire strategies to come for sure. But yeah, there's a lot of race to play with for us to get to the front from fourth.
Best of luck today, Ryan.
Marcus Armstrong will start fifth today on the streets of Long Beach. Just sharing a quick word with Tom Blomqvist. Good camaraderie here backstage. What do you talk about with your fellow competitors before a race?
I was just chatting to Tom Blomqvist for a little bit. We talk about absolute nonsense. I think he's looking for a good day. I think we're going to go to LA afterwards, so we're just sort of having a bit of a briefing before the race.
Starting fifth, can you get on the podium today or better?
That's the target. It's going to be a long day, obviously. There's a whole lot of action that Long Beach throws at us, and this circuit is not easy either. Also a bit of a question mark over which tire is going to be preferred, so we're going to do our best and see what happens.
That's Marcus Armstrong making his second start on the streets of Long Beach. Let's go to Jonathan Grace.
I'm here with Kyle Kirkwood, your winner from last year. I know qualifying may have not gone the way you wanted, but I just talked to your teammate. He seems confident about the Andretti package. How are you feeling about the race today?
Yeah, I mean, I think we all feel good. We all feel like we're in a good spot with our cars for race pace. So see where that confidence takes us. We're the only car, sorry, the only one of the two cars in the top 10 starting on the alternate strategy on the green tire. So we'll see how that pays off for us. Hopefully it does. It paid off for us being the alternate at Nashville last year in a similar position where we started eighth. So, hopefully it pays off for us today.
Best of luck today. A different strategy for last year's winner starting 10th on the grid.
real quick with Graham Rahal here. You start 12th. How much pace does this machine have today?
Yeah, I think the Fleet Cost and Care 15 solid today. Quickest in the warm-up, but of course it's a little warmer now than when we ran then. And, you know, we'll see what the conditions do, but it's going to be tricky today. I mean, the tire degradation, balancing the greens, all that sort of stuff, it's going to play a role. So hopefully we have good stops, good strategy. Driver does a good job, and we'll see what we can do.
Wishing you the best of luck. Thank you.
Chance to chat with the pole sitter for the sixth time in his NTT IndyCar Series career, Felix Rosenquist, but first with Meyer Shank Racing. What a great start to the season. It's been front row starts in every race, including at Thermal.
Yeah, I know. It's like we have to pinch ourselves a little bit, I think. Not get ahead of ourselves, keep our feet on the ground and try to just continue what we've been doing, man. But it's been going super well. I'm super proud of the whole team. Feel like we're, you know, they gave me a package that just worked out the gate straight away in St. Pete, and it's been continuing to perform everywhere we've been. So, yeah, super proud of all the guys and girls. And, you know, we still have lots to do and lots to learn together, but we're definitely off to a pretty damn good start.
It's been a great start to the weekend so far. Keep it up.
Thank you, man.
To Jonathan.
Here with last year's champion, Alex Palou. You sealed your first championship on the streets of Long Beach. It's a special place for you here. You're the highest qualifying Ganassi car. How are you feeling about your race this afternoon?
Yeah, feeling pretty good, man. Honestly, it's a special place for me, as you just mentioned, getting our first championship here. The atmosphere here, it's amazing. It's one of our best events in the calendar, so pretty excited to be here. Car feels great, so going to try and work out all the race to try and win it.
Alex Palou starts sixth today. Joel, to you.
Quickly to Christian Lundgaard, starting seventh. Your teammate, fastest in warm-up today. Does this team continue to get better?
Yeah, I mean, the car is a big improvement compared to last year.
He's getting out on stage, hoping to go even faster in just a couple minutes, Mark.
All right, good stuff, guys, right up the top. And again, that's pretty good chunk of the top 12 getting ready to roll off, including your front row, Felix Rosenquist and Will Power. Our driver analyst, Davey Hamilton, set to pilot the fastest seat in sports. He'll join us when we come back. Mark James, Davey Hamilton, and Davey joining us from pit road as you get ready for the fastest seat in sports. Okay, great qualifying session yesterday, capped off by the fact that this is the closest front row in terms of time and speed that we've had, Davey, since we started the Firestone Fast Six in the knockout qualifying format. And Felix Rosenquist giving Meyer Shank their first ever pole.
What an outstanding run. I mean, they did a fantastic job. And being the closest qualify, I mean, we continue to have just tighter and tighter and tighter fields. I mean, all the competition levels raising to the occasion. And I'll tell you what, I think that Meyer Shank team has to be proud. They did a great job. They have a great race driver. And how about Will Power even saying, you know, I looked, I almost got the pole. I'm second, barely. But I looked at my lap and I seen, where could I make up time? I couldn't really find anywhere. That's how close they are. I mean, he was flawless and still didn't get on the pole.
Well, with the number of laps today, conventional wisdom tells you two-stop strategy. But as we've addressed throughout the course of the weekend, there are going to be some drivers deep in the field that might be looking at the three-stop strategy today to get in contention.
Yeah, as close as the field is, Mark, and as hard as it is to pass here, everybody's going to try to take advantage of everything. And I think if you're, you know, 15th back and you're just kind of there, you're just kind of in a spot where you're not gaining anything, you don't really have any opportunity to move forward, what do you have to lose? You might as well go off strategy if the opportunity presents itself. And just go for it. You never know if a yellow comes out and you take it early on, that it could help you later on. And yellows have to help you even later as well. And just try to play the fuel game role and just try to get track position, because it's everything at this race course. Track position, track position, track position. It's hard to pass here. And we know that it's gone caution-free before, but we also seen havoc happen here. And it's the closer that these guys get together, they try to take advantage of every opportunity to pass. Sometimes that creates havoc. We seen last year with Pato Award and Will Power down in Turn 8. Wasn't a happy situation, but, man, you just got to go for it here.
In terms of the grip level, where do things stand around this course as we get ready to go racing today?
Yeah, you know, the track is actually really good this year. It usually is. It rubbers in fine. But you always have to watch starting in turn 5. It's an off-camber going from asphalt to concrete. Going down into turn six is the same. You're now going from concrete to asphalt again. It's got an elevation change, a lot of tire spin. It's hard to get on throttle in those areas. And then getting down into turn eight, as we continue to talk, they've even opened that corner up a little bit. But you got to remember, it's like four lanes going into the corner, but only two lanes coming off. So it gets very, very tight. And then the next trickiest place is turn nine, braking zone, Mark. The bumps are still there. That brings character to this racetrack, and you have to hit those bumps, you know, pretty much consistently to where it doesn't get the tires off the ground and make you run off in turn nine. So those are the places to watch. Really, from four to nine is the critical place to find speed at this racetrack.
As we always tell you, make sure you give him a good, safe, but fast ride, and we'll catch you at the booth in just a few minutes.
Okay, we'll see in a few.
That's our driver analyst, Davey Hamilton. 12:26 will be pre-race festivities trackside, and the green flag is set for 12:45 for the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach. Legends from all walks of life and all forms of motorsports take in the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach. Here's Ryan Marine.
16-time NHRA champion John Force here in Long Beach. Of course, also father-in-law to Graham Rahal, who will start 12th today at the Grand Prix of Long Beach. Great start to the season, though, for John Force Racing on the NHRA side. You got to be thrilled.
Well, have you noticed I'm standing here with Penske right now? I'm here with Chevrolet.
Of course.
My job, but Rahal is family. My wife's with Courtney, his wife, my daughter, and the two little girls, so Harlan and Tinley. So I'm excited to be here, but my season kicked off, and not just because I won, but this young kid that's taken the seat in the Cornwell Tools car, Austin Prock, I don't know where it's coming from. You know, I raced his grandpa. It was unbelievable 100 years ago. And then, you know, his dad works for me now. In fact, all his brothers are crew chiefs and running my shops in Indy. But what's really amazing, we had him in Top Fuel. That ain't where he wanted to be. He wanted to be a funny car driver. And don't get me wrong, Robert Height's going to come back. But anyway, they might try to shove me out of the seat at my age, but I ain't giving up yet.
No, it doesn't look like it. And you got a big one coming up next week, right, with the Four Wide Nationals?
Yeah, we're heading to Charlotte. I think Prock took the points lead in funny car. Brittany's like fifth or sixth. I think I'm fourth or fifth. And I got that big win. One round I had to win at Phoenix just to get the win from Pomona, which is my hometown, and we got it. So exciting, and we got good hot rods right now. Chevrolet helps us in our technology, everything we do, and financial. And thank you, Jim Campbell, for all that you do. But today it's IndyCar racing, and I got to root for Rahal, but I'm rooting for Penske too.
Have you been to Long Beach before?
Oh, yeah, I've been down here. I love it. Let me tell you something. I grew up here. Right here. The Pike used to be here. And, you know, an amusement park. But I know these streets. I've lived it. I loved it. I drove truck down here right out of high school. So, no, I'm back home here where I belong. But to come in here and see how big this has grown, you know, the Long Beach Grand Prix. But I'm going to Charlotte. It's huge. Marcus Smith, Bruton invested all that money to give us a four wide. Can you imagine four cars in a row, 11,000 horsepower apiece, you can't think. And but I've won it twice, so let's see where it goes.
It's a show unlike any other, that's for sure. John, enjoy the race here today and the hospitality of Team Penske, of course.
And yet, you know what, it's great to see it, this race and a number of races in California. IndyCar, keep doing what you do, and NHRA drag racing, we'll keep doing what we do. And I drive for Chevrolet, and I'm very proud of it.
That is the legend, John Force.
And we will preview the Firestone Grand Prix of Monterey, which comes up Sunday, June 23rd, when we come back to Long Beach. Sunday, June 23rd, it's the Firestone Grand Prix of Monterey. Alicia Busa joins us now, the communications manager from WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca. And, Alicia, we want to talk about some great ticket deals you have for kids of all ages, honestly, for the event coming up.
Yeah, we've got a lot of stuff coming up. Come and join us for the event. We've got a 20% off discount for students and faculty of most of the California universities. You can find a full list on our website at weathertechraceway.com. And also for any of our events, kids 15 and under are free. We're always trying to inspire the next generation of racers and race fans. So please come out, join us. We're really excited about the new June date this year. It'll be nice and cool in the morning and sunny in the afternoon, a nice California day to come watch the races.
How about this awesome promotion where you're going to give fans a chance to take a two-seater ride through the Corkscrew and around Laguna Seca?
That's right. Two lucky winners who guessed the podium at the Indy 500. They can email us their predictions, and we're going to give them a two-seater ride. So you're going to be in the back of an Indy car going 180 miles per hour down the Corkscrew. We've got room for two winners. We'll see if two people can actually guess correctly. But, yeah, email us at newsroom@laguna-seca.com.
Now, information on all of this and everything going on throughout that fabulous weekend coming up at your grand facility. Give us the web address, how people can get that ticket info and information.
That's right. It's weathertechraceway.com, or you can find us on pretty much any social media, WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca.
It is Sunday, June 23rd. It is the fabulous Firestone Grand Prix of Monterey. Alicia, thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
I want to thank these stations for carrying the Acura Grand Prix in Long Beach today. WWGO in Charleston, Illinois. WECO in Wartburg, Tennessee. And our flagship stations in Indianapolis, 93.5 and 107.5. The Fan, want to tell you that once we get to the starts and restarts, going to have to hold your position until you get to that start-finish line. And that is the conversation that the NTT IndyCar Series had with drivers in their competition meeting to get this weekend started off. So they'll have to stay in formation once they clear the hairpin, and then they'll be ready to go full song. But they'll have to wait until they get to the start-finish line to do so. Let's go trackside.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we ask that you please rise and remove your hats as Chaplain Chuck Lessig of IndyCar Ministries offers today's invocation.
Let's pray. Lord God, we pause for just a moment to invite you into our race today. We just thank you for your unending love and the way that you love us unconditionally, and ask that you help us love each other in that way. We invite your presence here today and just ask for a safe yet exciting race today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Chuck. We appreciate that. Please remain standing as the soldiers from the Long Beach Army Recruiting Company present our nation's colors. Here to honor America with the singing of our national anthem, please welcome Tim Kepler.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming? Whose broad stripes and the bright stars through the perilous fight. O'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets red glare. That our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the
today's NTT IndyCar Series starting lineup, presented by Advance Auto Parts. Row 14.
Nolan Siegel, United States.
Row 13.
Kevin Simpson, United States and Cayman Islands.
Stingray Rob, United States.
Row 12.
Santino Ferrucci, United States.
Jack Harvey, United Kingdom.
Row 11.
Theo Pocher, France.
Christian Rasmussen, Denmark.
Row 10.
Agustin Canapino, Argentina.
Pietro Fittipaldi, Brazil.
Row 9.
Rinus Wieke, the Netherlands.
Linus Lundqvist, Stockholm, Sweden.
Row 8.
Romain Grosjean, France.
Tom Blomqvist, New Zealand.
Row 7.
Patricio Ward, Monterrey, Mexico.
Alexander Rossi, United States.
Row 6.
Graham Rahal, United States of America.
Scott McLaughlin, New Zealand.
Row 5.
Kyle Kirkwood, United States.
Marcus Armstrong, New Zealand.
Row 4.
Scott Dixon, New Zealand.
Christian Lundgaard, Denmark.
Row 3.
Alex Palou, Spain.
Marcus Ericsson, Sweden.
Row 2.
Colton Herta, United States.
Joseph Newgarden, United States.
On the outside of row 1.
Will Power, Australia.
And starting on the pole.
Felix Rosenqvist, Sweden.
Today's starting lineup is presented by Advance Auto Parts, the official checkered flag of the NTT IndyCar Series.
It's about 5 minutes away from the command to start engines. Let's go back to pit road. Ryan Marine, throughout the course of the season, we want to focus on the unsung heroes that kind of reaffirm this is indeed a team sport. Each and every race, we're going to highlight the teams that go over the wall that service these bad, fast NTT IndyCar Series machines. Who are we going to look at today?
Well, Mark, I thought we should highlight the team behind the pole sitter, Felix Rosenqvist, or the crew of the number 60 Sirius XM Honda for Meyer-Shank Racing. Going over the wall, changing the outside front tire is their crew chief, Jimmy Looper, joined on the front side of that car, Nico Venezia. On the outside rear, Donnie Skinner. The inside rear is Brendan Gerdeman. We've got the aero screen tear-off man, that's Kylie Jarman. The airjack is Kyle Gibson. The fueler for this car, Frank Camacho, strategist Adam Rovazzini, and give the engineer, Dave Seifert, a big round of applause because he's done a tremendous job on Felix Rosenqvist's car all year long. He's had front row starts in every race so far this season, including the pole right here in Long Beach. Set that yesterday by just 39 ten-thousandths of a second.
And to watch them work is indeed poetry in motion all up and down the field. 27th, thanks, Ryan. Good stuff. 1.9 miles in length, little over that, 11 turns at all. And we got two of the best in the business to sort it out for you. His position, one of the most unique of any track we visit because he has them coming and going figuratively and literally. We're talking about Jake Query, who welcomes him to turn number one. Jake?
Thank you so much, Mark. You heard John Force talk about the old Pike Recreation Park area of this fabulous part of the country, and that is now the Pike Outlets Mall and still a shopping restaurant district. That's the area that the cars will navigate here that I will call for this race in Long Beach, California. It is Shoreline Drive. That is the street that they will travel upon heading into turn number one. When they do so, they will be traveling some 40 feet below me, directly to my left, and about 500 yards from where I am currently perched. They take the left-handed turn number one. They go around the fountain area here in Long Beach that makes up a couple of turns before a right-hander that is turn number five, bringing them back up Shoreline, back again right before me, and then a left-handed turn number six. I am right smack dab in the middle, if you will, of the wall that divides these two areas of the racetrack. A lot of fun to call it. Can be a tricky area of the racetrack, in particular exiting turn five and the left-handed turn six. But it's once they make that left-hander, they go under the Labor's and International Union of North America bridge and have a right-hander that's turn seven. That's where they come in to another very tricky area of the racetrack, and they will do so into the eyes of Nick Yeoman.
Appreciate that, Jake. Looking forward to another running of the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach. When they leave that turn seven location, you start to head downtown Long Beach. You've got restaurants and comedy clubs to your left, hotels, convention centers to the right. And it all leads to a newly configured turn number eight. It is still a right-hander 90-degree corner, but there have been some alterations this year. The wall's been pushed back a little bit. There's been some paving that's made that turn very smooth and very fast. It's certainly an exciting spot on the racetrack we're going to be watching all day long. When they leave turn number eight, That's a long back straightaway where they slip underneath a couple bridges. Great opportunity to set up some passes here on the streets of Long Beach. Turn number 9 is a 90-degree tan turn in its own right. There's a runoff area to the outside of the corner. Want to avoid that. That's not been the case for a lot of drivers in practice of qualifying, but I have a feeling they're going to be pretty precise throughout the course of today. Got to watch the bumps down there in turn number 9 as well. Very easy to lock up those tires. When they leave turn number 9, it's two more corners. They're kind of slow. Turn number 10 is a slow left-hander, but Mark, they don't get much slower than the hairpin in turn number 11. It is one of the signature portions of this racetrack, but are looking forward to calling the action all day long in turns 8 and 9. We've seen action there all weekend long. We expect it as 27 of the best in the business roar to life in the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach.
Thank you, guys. Look forward to the call for sure. And we need to reiterate that front row of Felix Rosenquist and Will Power. It kind of lets you know just how ultra-competitive the NTT IndyCar Series is. Their margin between the two of them, the absolute closest since the NTT IndyCar Series started, the knockout qualifying format and the Firestone Fast 6. Some of the other notes of note. Marcus Ericsson was third last year with three Andretti Global drivers around him. His car has finished second here with Romain Grosjean in 22 and 23. He's part of that stable now and in that car. Grosjean has 5 second-place finishes in 48 starts, all at Long Beach, Barber, and the IMS Road Course. Romain Grosjean is looking for a big weekend to get himself off to a good start over these three races in which he's had a lot of success. 9 different winners over the last 10 races here at Long Beach. Alexander Rossi, the only repeat winner in 18 and 19. This is the 40th year, by the way, that the NTT IndyCar Series has run rain-free here. All told in the history of this event, 49 years and no rain. Let's go trackside.
It's time for those most famous words in motorsports. Here to give the command, please welcome back today's Grand Marshal, actor and comedian Gabriel
Fluffy Iglesias. Drivers, start your engines!
Command has been given now, and we're just about ready to get the Acura Grand Prix underway after a great start off the top. Our pit reporters putting pen to paper, keeping track of what and who they will be watching throughout the course of the next 85 laps or so. Let's run through the pits, see what they'll be keeping their eye on. Specifically, we'll start with Jonathan Grace.
How's it going, everybody? I'm looking at Teo Porcher today, the rookie making his IndyCar Series debut here on the streets of Long Beach. The impressive 20-year-old rolling off 22nd on the grid. Got the call last minute. Talking to him earlier in the weekend, he said he's coming in basically cold. Aside from some simulator prep, really hadn't set foot in the star. But the European Open Wheel Formula Rising Star, looking to see what he can do from 22nd on the grid. Joel Sebastianelli to you.
Thank you, Jonathan. I'll be keeping an eye on the middle section of pit lane. With this being the second points-paying race, teams try to make progress for this season. With this being the first of a stretch of cars on track 7 of the next 8 weeks, Ray Hall, Letterman, Lanigan Racing is ecstatic about their progress so far. Christian Lundgaard's Hy-Vee Honda is halfway up in this section, the 45 and his teammates. Non-factors, admittedly, here a year ago. He starts 7th. His teammate, Graham Rahal, fastest in warm-up, 12th. We're going to keep an eye on the Dane in particular as he looks for his second career win and confirmation he and his team can be consistent front runners in the IndyCar Series. Also, right behind him on pit lane, the 27 of Kyle Kirkwood, the defending Long Beach winner, will have to make his way up from 12th. Further up on pit lane is Ryan Marine. Ryan, what are you keeping an eye on?
Hey, Joel, I've got my eyes on Joseph Newgarden, who is making his 200th career start at the NTT IndyCar Series here today, and he's had some memorable races on the streets of Long Beach. As a rookie, he started 2nd, famously tangled with Dario Franchitti in turn 1, lap 1, going for the lead. That one did not end well, but it ended very well here in Long Beach back in 2022 when he came away with a race win on these famous streets. Only one driver has ever ever won in his 200th NDT IndyCar Series start. That was Al Unser Sr., who won at Ontario in his 200th start. Joseph Newgarden looking to repeat that feat and become a two-time winner here at Long Beach. Today, beautiful weather, Mark. Great crowd on hand. There's an absolute buzz about this place, and we're about to go racing once more at the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach.
Not necessarily where you start, except for Alexander Rossi's wins in 2018 and 19, and Kyle Kirkland's win from pole last season. The top spot has not been the place to start at Long Beach. Just six drivers have ever won Long Beach from the top spot. And while pole sitters have scored podium finishes in recent races, they've also finished 15th or worse just as often. Colton Herta, 23rd in 2022. Ryan Hunter-Reay, 20th in 2014. Dario Franchitti, 15th in 2012. And the late Justin Wilson, 19th in 2008. Scott McLaughlin, Colton Herta are the only drivers so far this season to finish in the top five in both of this season's events. McLaughlin has podium finishes at St. Pete and the non-championship race at the Thermal Club, while Herta has finishes of fifth at St. Pete and fourth at Thermal. Keeping that mark could be a challenge for both. McLaughlin has just one top 10 here in Long Beach. He finished 10th in 2023, and Herta has an average finish of 12th despite a pair of top five finishes. The field continues to go through the warm-up laps and the pace lap. Let's go back out onto the course, get the thoughts and impressions of Jake Query. Jake, no question about it, you've had one of the hot spots. Turn one was interesting, even in the morning warm-up.
Yeah, turn five also can be tricky. Turn one, we saw Will Power kind of testing in the warm-up just how deep into the turn he could go before getting into the brakes. Is that going to be an issue now as he and Felix Rosenquist at the start of this race are going to be on two different tire compounds? Nick, just one of the things that we'll be watching, and then you also are going to be in an area of the racetrack that tested Will Power throughout the practice sessions of this weekend.
Yeah, it's a great point, Jake. That was turn number eight, where in practice all yesterday, Will Power had a pair of incidents, tank slappers, one that pushed him back across the racetrack, damaging the front wing. It didn't affect Will Power's confidence very much as he went out there and put that car on the front row, but it just illustrates that how even the best in the business can be caught out in turn eight around these very tight confines around the streets of Long Beach. Pace car making his way around the fountain, Mark James, as we're getting set to go racing here, about a lap away from turning these cars loose. It is the vibrant colors that match the fantastic California race fans that always pack the streets of St. Petersburg. There are grandstands all around this place, Mark, and all those reserve seats sold out for yet another running of the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach. Felix Rosenquist, Will Power on the front row as we're about a half a lap away.
And again, as Ryan Marine stated earlier, picture-perfect conditions, and as we told you right before the command, 49 years of racing here on the streets of Long Beach. We can only imagine what they have in store for the 50th anniversary next year. That means other forms of racing have been here throughout the years. 40 years of the NTT IndyCar Series being here, and there has never been a rainout. That's not to say we haven't had rain, because it has reared its ugly head from time to time and maybe washed out a practice session or two. That said, but all in all, they say it never rains in Southern California, and that's certainly been the case when it comes to the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach. Let's go back to pit road, bring in Ryan Marine about a really impressive rookie, Teo Pourchaire. He's in the car this weekend for Arrow McLaren, and oddly enough, Ryan Marine, this is the first time not only has he ever been in an NTT IndyCar Series car, first time he's ever been to the state of California.
Amazing story, isn't it, for the 20-year-old reigning F2 champion. Jonathan kind of chronicled his path to this series. It was very unexpected, to say the least. He's still part of the Sauber Driver Academy with his F1 dreams somewhat on life support at this point. His main program this year actually is racing at Super Formula in Japan, the same series that produced Alex Palou, of course. But this opportunity came up to stand in for Arrow McLaren's David Malukas, who's still recovering from his wrist injury. Pourchaire has been nothing but a joy to deal with so far this weekend. He's loving this opportunity and soaking up as much as he can from the team's sporting director, Tony Kanaan, who has been imparting as much wisdom as he can over the course of this weekend. But I suspect it's been drinking from a fire hose for young Teo Pourchaire.
Yeah, the caution flag continues to fly. Thank you. And again, for all intents and purposes, he is absolutely having the time of his life, and he has been all smiles and kind of soaking it all in. And of course, this is where they rely on someone like Tony Kanaan within the confines of that race team, the veteran, to kind of get him up to speed and make him feel comfortable. Some issues with race control. They think they have all of those sorted out. And Nick Yeoman, we think as they head toward you in turn number 9, we hope to see them start to pack up and go in rows of two, and we get ready to finally get the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach underway.
Well, we've got the universal sign mark from the pace car, and that is that the lights are shut off above that Acura that is leading the field right now into turn number 9. So that's a good sign. Felix Rosenquist on the pole. First pole position for Meyer Shank Racing. He's got one of the best in the business, Will Power, who's going to streak to his outside. Mark, they're coming slowly through turns 10 and 11. We are moments away from going racing at Long Beach.
Fans are on their feet, and they are ready for it as they crawl through the hairpin. Felix Rosenquist at a really slow pace, and we come off of turn number 11. And again, they have to hold their position until they get to the start-finish line, and the green flag flies. And they're starting to jockey for position already as Will Power moves over and grabs the second spot. Felix Rosenquist leads him to turn number 1.
And now Will Power is going to try to go to the outside and make the move, heading into turn number 1. And they go side by side to Rosenquist and Power. But heading into the fountain, Will Power has taken the lead from the pole sitter, Felix Rosenquist. The field is very clean through turn number 1. Everybody has turned out to watch this race in Long Beach, sparing any clouds in the sky. Beautiful day, beautiful start. Will Power is your leader. Felix Rosenquist, 3 car lengths behind him. Then it's Joseph Newgarden. He's followed by Marcus Ericsson and Colton Herta, leader into turn number 7.
It was a gutsy drag race into that first corner, but it is Will Power who leads the field for the first time through turn number 8. Then it's Felix Rosenquist. Joseph Newgarden sits in the third spot. Marcus Ericsson is up to 4th. Everybody in line, hard on the brakes, Mark James. It's Will Power, the race leader here on lap 1.
First lap was completed under caution, so they did start scoring that lap because of the timing and scoring issues. So Will Power with that bonsai move to the high side and turn number 1 has stretched it out to a 1.1 second lead. Then it's Rosenquist, Newgarden, Ericsson, and Herta, the top 5. Back to Jake Query.
Will Power is currently amidst the longest winning drought in his career in the NTT IndyCar Series. Good start here at Long Beach. Extended out to about a 5 car length advantage over Felix Rosenquist. Everybody again single file as they work their way. Little bit of a move in the back of the field. I think that might have been Canapino that made up a spot. But all eyes back up to the front to Will Power, who makes that turn in turn number 5. 5 car length advantage now over Felix Rosenquist. Then it's Joseph Newgarden and Marcus Ericsson. Ericsson now starting to get his mirrors full of Colton Herta. He has Alex Palou just behind him.
Further back, we see a nice pass by Marcus Armstrong as he gets around Kyle Kirkwood and moves into the 9th position. They're jostling for position. Kirkwood's going to take a look back and take that spot away from Armstrong. So some good battling just outside of the top 7 or 8 cars as it's Kyle Kirkwood, the race winner a year ago, getting back around Marcus Armstrong, move him into the 9th position.
Davey Hamilton, Will Power a bit surprised the team made the call to put him on the alternates, but he made those things work for him when he got that pass into turn number 1.
Yeah, great call, a great run by him. He needs to be in front. He did what he had to do, had that little extra grip. And as we talked about before, I think these alternates are going to stay good through the entire run. So great job on Power. Already has a 2.5-second lead over Newgarden.
That's Newgarden, Rosenquist, Ericsson, Herta, below, then Dixon, Lundgaard, Kirkwood. The best battle right now is the battle for the 10th position. It's Armstrong and McLaughlin. They cleared the fountain, headed back to turn number 5.
Tell you another driver that was on the move early. That's Rinus VK. He started on the alternate tires, started 18th. He's made up 3 spots. Tom Blomqvist has dropped back just a little bit in that area of the race. Now, as for Kyle Kirkwood, trying to look very closely right now on Christian Lundgaard. Nick, that's the battle as they work their way into turn number 7.
We saw a little contact in the field. Let's go to pit lane. Joel Sebastianelli has more.
Alexander Rossi is the first onto pit lane. He started the race on the alternates, a quick in and out to get onto the harder compound tire.
Updates of Pit Road brought to you by Shell, the official fuel of the NTT IndyCar Series. Again, 3 laps complete. It's Will Power by 2.4 seconds already over Joseph Newgarden, Rosenquist, Ericsson, Herta, Palou, Dixon, Lundgaard, Kirkwood, and Armstrong. While the leader has a comfortable advantage, Davey Hamilton, plenty of jockeying for position from about 7th on back.
Yeah, actually, a little more action than I expected early on here, Mark, for sure. And it's look, I mean, everybody's been cleaned. I haven't seen anybody touch. I'm a little surprised with Rossi coming in that early without having a problem. I mean, he was towards the back, but that could be part of the strategy. They have three cars in this race right now, and he's the one that they gambled with. So right now he finds himself at 27th, but we'll see if this gamble pays off by doing the early stop.
Nick Yeoman struggles for the pole sitter. Felix Rosenqvist, he's lost a couple of spots now.
Yeah, started on pole. Jake Query just saw Marcus Ericsson get him down into turn number one, so that has drop-kicked our pole sitter back to the fourth position, and now it's Colton Herta who is starting to run him down. So tough break for Felix Rosenqvist. They make their way into turn number nine. His advantage over Herta, Marcus, three car lengths.
Meanwhile, a comfortable advantage continues for Will Power. He's opened it up to 2.8 seconds. He has his teammate Joseph Newgarden in tow. Then it's Ericsson, Rosenqvist, Herta, and Pelot. You'll see Scott Dixon and Kyle Kirkwood engaged in a pretty good battle, Jake Query, by the time they work their way back to you. Dixon, Kirkwood, the battle for the seventh position. They're trying to track down Alex Pelot.
Kirkwood was one of just two drivers in the top 10 to start on the alternate soft tires. The other, the current leader, Will Power. So they're working right now, but Kirkwood's going to try to reel in Scott Dixon around the fountain area, not able to do it just yet. Dixon holding off, last year's defending winner, talking about Kyle Kirkwood as they work their way now, setting up for turn number five. Will Power already goes through turn number six. Then as the field works their way through turn number six, Kirkwood drifts back just a little bit. He's got about 2.5 car lengths to make up to get to Scott Dixon.
We'll keep an eye on Kyle Kirkwood as he tries to track down Scott Dixon. About 2 or 3 cars ahead of them, though, that battle between Felix Rosenqvist and Colton Herta continues to heat up. They'll do a little drag racing down into turn number nine. Rosenqvist will hold him off, but just a half a car length mark out of turn nine.
Yeah, Colton Herta is all over him for sure. That is the battle for the fourth position. Pelot, Dixon, Kirkwood, that's also a pretty decent battle. Lundgaard and Armstrong trying to keep pace. Meanwhile, back up front, Will Power checks out by 3.4 seconds. Jake, let's check back in on that battle for fourth. It's Felix Rosenqvist and Colton Herta to turn number one.
And Colton Herta is going to go to the outside of Felix Rosenqvist, and he's going to make that pass before they go into turn number one. So Rosenqvist, the pole sitter, slides back another spot. Colton Herta gets in front of him. All of this happening well behind your leader, Will Power, who has his teammate, Joseph Newgarden, now running second. As Power sets up for turn number six, Newgarden is just coming into view, exiting turn number five. He's got just behind him Marcus Ericsson. Then it's Colton Herta, followed by Rosenqvist and Alex Pelot.
So it's Penske, 1-2. Now Andretti Global, 3-4, with Ericsson and Herta clearing Felix Rosenqvist. All of those drivers navigating turn number eight. As for Rosenqvist, he's starting to slip into the grasp of our defending series champion, the guy that got the win at Thermal. Mark James, that's Alex Pelot in that DHL Honda.
We'll complete 7 laps this time by. So, Davey, what do you speculate is going on with Felix Rosenqvist? Did they miss a setup or something that they might have changed for the morning warm-up?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think something is awry. The car just doesn't have the balance, obviously, they need. As we see a car just now jet on pit road, and I can't tell who that was. I think somebody went on there. But anyways, I just think they missed it. I just think they missed that setup. He doesn't have the grip, the power. They're all passing into the straightaway. That means he's not coming off the corner like he should be.
Well, Alex Pelot just slipped around him into turn number one, so let's get maybe more specifics from Ryan Marine on pit road.
I wish I had more specifics, but the team is in the dark, as are we. They've not heard from Felix to this point. I've checked in a couple of times, but no information yet as Felix slips back through the field.
8 laps complete next time by. Will Power, your leader, by 4.1 seconds over Joseph Newgarden. Ericsson, Herta, Pelot, the top five. Rosenqvist, Dixon, Kirkwood, Lundgaard, and Armstrong, the top 10. McLaughlin, Rahal, Award, VK, and Grosjean through 15th. 16th, Lundqvist. 17th, Blomqvist. 18th, Fittipaldi. Porcher up to 19th. 20th, Canapino. 21st, Rasmussen. 22nd, Harvey. 23rd, Ferrucci. Stingray Robb is 24th. Gifford Simpson, 25th. Nolan Siegel, 26th. And Alexander Rossi, 27th. We pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the IndyCar Radio Network. After the race and all season long, listen to replays of this and every NTT IndyCar Series race broadcast. Find and follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast. 10 laps complete next time by. Will Power, your leader, by 5.1 seconds over Joseph Newgarden. Ericsson, Herta, below the top five. Rosenqvist, your pole sitter, has tumbled to 6th. Dixon, Kirkwood, Lundgaard, and Armstrong, the top 10. We talked about Alexander Rossi and what was an unscheduled pit stop. It was necessitated because of contact. Davey with his teammate Pato Award. And Pato will be assessed a drive-through penalty. So after not getting any of their cars in the round of 12, the woes continue for Errol McLaren on race day.
Not good at all. Is that stretching with teammates? And I tell you, you know, last year Pato had issues with Dixon here. Just seems like he's fast, but for some reason at this racetrack just plays a lot of pinball. He runs into a lot of guys. Unfortunately, this year was his own guy, one of his own guys, and that took both of them out of contention.
So, Davey, what are we looking at in terms of the window? We're looking at somewhere around 23 to 24. We should expect to start seeing cars get to pit road.
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, you could also go a little bit longer than that. I think that they can go up to 27, Mark, if they really wanted to. And it just depends on how much fuel they're saving. But I think they can get up to that 27 mark and just see how it's flowing, see how if any yellows fall. But right now, I think they could stretch it out a little bit. As long as they're not losing speed, they might as well stay out there and use all the fuel you have.
Rosenquist, Dixon, it's getting interesting. More trouble for the pole sitter, Jake Query. That's the battle for sixth to turn one.
As a matter of fact, Felix Rosenquist, as he starts to decelerate heading into turn one, has Scott Dixon right there in check. Dixon didn't make the move through one, so they'll work their way around the fountain area, and we'll see him coming off of turn number five if the Kiwi's not able to finally get around the Swede, because it's a battle that's been shaping itself and working itself out for the last couple of circuits. Felix Rosenquist, the pole sitter, who has tumbled. Pelo was the last to get past him. Dixon right on the rear wing, heading through turn number six. Rosenquist takes it a little more wide as they both set up now for turn number seven.
These two used to be teammates for Chip Ganassi Racing, and Dixon may want to try to make quick work because Kyle Kirkwood is starting to catch him, running in that eighth position. Christian Lundgaard is right there. He's having a nice day in ninth. That quartet of cars, Mark James, leaves turn nine.
I know all of you listening to us on Sirius XM probably rooting for that car of Felix Rosenquist. That is his primary sponsor, which is on the side pod. You know who's also hoping to be a part of this? A couple of other guys, Kyle Kirkwood and Christian Lundgaard. This is the battle for the sixth position. Your pole sitter, Felix Rosenquist, Dixon, Kirkwood, Lundgaard, even Armstrong all giving chase back to Jake Query in turn one.
Yeah, it almost seems as though Dixon this time is a little bit further back off Rosenquist's rear wing than last time by, but you do get the feeling that he's going to be able to pounce if he so chooses, maybe coming off of turn number five. Leader Will Power sets up now turn number six. Then it is a sizable gap back before you get to Joseph Newgarden, Marcus Erickson, followed by Colton Herta and Pelo. Then that quartet we've been watching. It's Rosenquist, the pole sitter, with Dixon just behind him, Kirkwood and Lundgaard. Nick, don't look now, but Marcus Armstrong is starting to get a view of all of it.
Yeah, he looked pretty strong in that bright green car in practice and in qualifying. So the driver now in his second year, first full year, running in the top 10 for Marcus Armstrong. He's trying to track down Christian Lundgaard in ninth. All of this happening way behind Will Power, Mark. That big gap that Jake talked about, how about 6.5 seconds on the stopwatch?
Well, you know, Davey, I'll tell you, this Firestone Pit Performance Award, Will Power's team won that last year, and they are leading through the first event at St. Petersburg. And, boy, I'll tell you what, it takes a lot of pressure off those guys if we pit under green and Will Power can get to pit road with a lead of 6.5 seconds.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's what they're really hoping for. That is one of the teams that says, you know what, we hope there are no yellows. We're out front. We want to keep it clean and green the whole way. Where a majority of these teams are going, no, I'd like to have a yellow to catch up and make up the space that I've lost to Will Power. But that is, for one team, they want to stay up front and try to lead this thing out.
14 laps complete next time by your top 10. Will Power, Joseph Newgarden, Marcus Erickson, Colton Herta, and Alex Pelo. Felix Rosenquist, Scott Dixon, Kyle Kirkwood, Christian Lundgaard, and Marcus Armstrong. Those are your top 10. Let's go to pit road. Check in with Joel.
Time for the Honda Engineering Update. Happy to be joined by Wayne Gross, the trackside support manager for HRC. This is the home race. You guys are the defending race winners. American Honda HRC close by. How does the preparation and prestige for this weekend rise above?
I mean, just first of all, just an awesome event to be here in Long Beach. Like you said, home race for American Honda and HRC just a little ways away. It's huge for us, right, to be here with all our family and friends, and everyone gets to come out and check us out. We've had good success here. 16 race wins, 9 of the last 14. Just tried to do it again, back up from last year. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
Having won 9 of the last 14, what does a win here mean for Honda?
It's just awesome to do it in front of all of the people to put all the hard work in, right? Everyone's out here supporting us, and it's great to do it in front of all the family and friends here. It's really wonderful.
We appreciate your time. That is Wayne Gross, the trackside support manager for HRC, and this is the Honda Engineering Update.
much was made of the desire for Chevrolet to up their game on the road and street courses, Davey. I think they did that at St. Petersburg, certainly, and at least early on, it looks like they're flexing some muscle here as well, because Chevy has the top two spots of the five. Meanwhile, we have, we'll get to that in a minute. Turn four, we've got an incident involving the 20 machine. Looks like he's made some contact. That's rookie Christian Rasmussen, Davey. Heavy damage to that race car.
There we go. We're going to see the pits being open. We're going to see a lot of guys shoot in. Now, it's not enough to make it a two-stopper. It's still going to be you coming out. It's a three-stopper, but not what Willpower wanted to see whatsoever. Had that 7.4-second lead all go away. Newgarden, his teammate, says, yes, I needed that extra time. But unfortunately, we got one to the wall, and that's not what Rasmussen wanted either with that Ed Carpenter team.
And Nick Yeoman, as the cars roar by you, now that the caution is out, you see another car might have been involved in that.
Yeah, looks like some damage to the left side pod of Jack Harvey. Also saw the right side. Firestone's got white wall. The suspension may be damaged as well, so looks like a two-car incident there, Mark, in turn four.
Thanks to McAllister's for catering lunch for IndyCar Radio today. Got to try the Cuban sandwich made with tangy pulled pork, juicy ham, Swiss with mustard and pickles, all on a toasted baguette, but it's only for a limited time. So get to your local McAllister's and try it before it's gone. 15 laps complete. Caution on the course. Power, Newgarden, Erickson, Herta below the top five. Rosenquist, Dixon, Kirkwood, Lundgaard, and Armstrong, the top 10 at the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach. A single car, actually two car incident, initially resulting in Christian Rasmussen causing contact with Jack Harvey. And Jake Query, you could report that Christian Rasmussen appears to be all right.
That is the good news. His race car sat perpendicular, of course, off of turn number four, and so it's going to take a second to clean that up. But the good news is that the rookie got out of his machine, took a look over it, and then hopped into the ride with the AMR safety team to get looked out. But he got out under his own power. No issues there for Christian Rasmussen.
So Power, Newgarden, Erickson, Herta, and Pillow, then Rosenquist, Dixon, Kirkwood, Lundgaard and Armstrong, and a little bit of gamesmanship underway as almost everyone was laid out, but not everyone came in with now 17 laps complete. Let's go to pit road, find out from Ryan Marine, who indeed did come in.
The leader, Will Power, he elected to come in. Remember, he started on the alternate greens. They go to the blacks for this stint. It's a clean stop at 6.5 seconds. Scott McLaughlin also in. Let's go down to Joel.
Christian Lundgaard was following the leader. Power came in, so he did as well. Off of the blacks, onto more blacks. They made a pressure adjustment with one turn of wing.
Jonathan Grace.
Jack Harvey also came into the pits with a little damage on the rear left of that car. The team applying a little bit of race tape to the rear end of that race car. A little slow stop above 9 seconds, but he's backing away.
Ryan Marine.
Yeah, so much chatter on the radio right as the pits opened. We had a lot of teams saying it's going to be a late call. A lot of teams also basing their strategy off what others will do. I heard a number say we'll do what Will Power does. Others said we're doing what Newgarden does, and it results in a totally split strategy as this caution falls at a very awkward time, strategically speaking, in the race.
Updates from pit road brought to you by Shell, the official fuel of the NTT IndyCar Series. That 5.5-second lead, all gone for Will Power. Davey, he tumbles to 12th. I guess the benefit for Power, though, would be is that he's off of those alternates and back onto the primaries.
Yeah, you know, and the alternates are pretty good here. He may have been happy with those, but you're right. He's made his stop. Now what happens if a yellow comes again and it comes soon and some of those other guys come in? It still may benefit him because they may pit at that point. But if it gets to a pit window, is it an advantage or disadvantage? It's an awkward spot right now. From here on out, it just depends on if any more yellows fall, if that's going to hurt him or help him.
Well, one of the guys that had to be happy with that caution of the few would be Alexander Rossi, Davey, because he had to come to pit road because of that damage with his teammate Pottle Award, and now he's shuffled himself back up to 11th.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Rossi and then and Pato both, I mean, benefited for that. Pato is in that 24th spot. They made another stop, but you're right. That definitely made it a huge advantage for Rossi, no question about it, getting him to that 11th spot. Now he's on the same strategy that Power is.
Let's get one more update on the fate of Jack Harvey from Jonathan.
Fuel going in, just a little dash, and more race tape on the rear of that car. They try to rip off a piece of carbon fiber covering the rear left tire, and a long strip of thick black race tape going on. The team's still working on it. Car still stationary. mechanics trying desperately to get the carbon fiber back. Jack Harvey is stuck waiting on pit road at the moment, but they're trying desperately to get him back out.
An incident between Lundgaard and Kirkwood is being looked at by race control, and we just got a peek at it. And, Davey, there was definitely some contact on pit road between those two cars.
Yeah, and I'm going to have to say that Lundgaard is going to be the one that's not going to benefit from that. He pulled out. He ran into the side of the other car, which, who was that? I seen Lundgaard for sure. And then Kyle Kirkwood. And I think Kyle was already up in the fast lane. And when you send a car out and it's not clear, it's usually that car's penalty. But we'll see what happens in race control.
So the charmed existence continues for one Joseph Newgarden. When all is said and done, Joseph Newgarden is going to cycle up to the point. It's Newgarden, Ericsson, Herta, Pelot, and Rosenquist, the top five. Then VK, Grosjean, Porcher, Stingray, Robb, and Nolan Siegel, the top ten, as the leaders head back to green in front of Jake Query.
And Marcus Ericsson is on the rear wing of Joseph Newgarden, but they went single file, everybody did, in through turn number one. And heading into the fountain a little bit further back, Christian Lundgaard did make a move. Other thing that was interesting to watch, Alexander Rossi, who we know came in out of sequence, has a good car, but he's got three inexperienced drivers in front of him. Will he try to take advantage? Jack Harvey is a car that came in on pit road. He might serve as a bit of a hindrance here for Joseph Newgarden, who is a little off pace off turn number six, but Ericsson's not able to make a move through turn number seven.
Ericsson's got to find about three car lengths to Joseph Newgarden. Those two battled for the Indy 500 1 year ago. Out of turn number eight, Newgarden's advantage stays at about two or three car lengths. Then it's Ericsson, his teammate Colton Herta, Alex Pelot, and our pole sitter Felix Rosenquist, top five out of turn nine.
Davey, many of the top ten are on fresh tires, while Power, about 17 laps on them. Now you've got Power, Dixon, Lundgaard on fresh tires. How's that going to work out for them?
Yeah, well, it's going to definitely, we think that the drop-off is going to be small, not that big, but it's definitely going to help. Anytime you have new tires against the cars out there with older ones, it's going to help you. Now, here's what Power is going to hope that happens, is that they peel off and they have to pit in that 20. I'd say they make it to 30 now with that caution out. We had one lap at the start under caution, and then now with these cautions, you should make it to lap 30. When they start peeling off, he wants to cycle himself to the front, go as far as he can, and then hope another caution calls that helps him comes and not the other guys.
Alexander Rossi was able to work his way around Stingray Robb, Jake Query, Alex Pelot, Felix Rosenquist. That's the battle for the fourth position through turn five.
That battle has already settled itself out. Leaders now coming into your view, Nick.
Yeah, and as we look a little bit further back, Felix Rosenquist trying to hang on to that fifth position. A good run so far for Rinus VK. He runs in the sixth spot as he tries to run him down, marking to turn nine.
Yeah, good run for Rinus VK. Good eye, Nick. He's in the top 10. He's sixth. We'll give you a top 10 now. Newgarden, Ericsson, Herta, Pavel, Rosenquist, VK, Grosjean, Porcher, Robb, and Rossi. We can tell you Siegel's 11th, Power 12th, Dixon 13th, 14th is Lundgaard, 15th is Kirkwood, McLaughlin 16th, 17th Rahal, Armstrong 18th, Lundquist 19th, Catapino is 20th, Fittipaldi 21st, Ferrucci 22nd, Award 23rd, 24th is Simpson, Blomqvist is 25th, Jack Harvey is 26th, and out of the race is Christian Rasmussen, who had that incident on lap number 14. So Joseph Newgarden's lead at 1.2 seconds now, as the leaders start to make their way through turn number six, 1.4 seconds to lead. Things get interesting now. Nick Yeoman from Colton Herta on back to Pelot, Rosenquist, VK, and Grosjean.
They also kind of get interesting, Mark, for our race leader, Joseph Newgarden, as he now has to get around the back marker that is Jack Harvey that had to deal with the damage from that incident. Newgarden's running him down into turn number nine. He's opened up about an eight-car-length advantage over Marcus Ericsson, but Newgarden will see if he can quickly dispatch Mark of Jack Harvey.
Yeah, he's got some work to do to get around him, Jack Harvey. I don't think he'll make it difficult for him. Jack is a little slow off the hairpin, although he's going to try to keep from going a lap down. Jack Harvey, the drag race, he gets off of turn number 11 first, and he pulls away to about a four-car-length advantage into turn number one, Jake.
Yeah, so we'll see how quickly Newgarden can try to get past him. He's going to check up and let Harvey lead him into turn number one. That might be because he knows that Marcus Ericsson still has about eight car lengths to make up before he can get to Newgarden. So the next opportunity for Newgarden to get himself a barrier first to second and get around Harvey may be coming off of turn number five. Harvey now makes that exit off turn number five. Newgarden going to take a look, but Harvey
good pace for him down to the bottom of the racetrack through turn six. Newgarden falls in line, then Erickson about three car lengths back.
Yeah, Harvey may have a damaged race car, but keep in mind he's got much fresher tires than Joseph Newgarden and the other drivers running in the top 11 who haven't pitted yet. Down the back straightaway, Harvey's going to keep that car tucked up the driver's left. Newgarden can't make a pass, and Mark, slowly but surely, we're starting to see Marcus Erickson starting to run down a race leader.
24 laps complete this time by Newgarden, Erickson, Herta, Pelot, and Rosenquist, the top five. VK, Grosjean, Porcher, Rob, and Rossi, the top 10. We'll see if Joseph Newgarden has any luck getting around Jack Harvey. He's currently running in the 26th position now as they roar back to turn number one.
And now Joseph Newgarden pops to the inside, makes that pass. So Jack Harvey sits between the leader, Joseph Newgarden, and the second place, and very quickly arriving on the scene, Marcus Erickson. So how long will it take Marcus Erickson to get around the damaged race car of Jack Harvey? That's the thing that we will watch as the leader now works his way off of turn number five. Newgarden has that, again, about a four-car length advantage over Harvey, and Harvey still has Erickson right on the wing. So, Nick, it's not going to be through turn number seven where Erickson's able to make the move on Harvey.
Yeah, conventional wisdom would say for Jack Harvey that once you've gone down a lap, you don't put up much of a fight from anyone else, but he's going to hold that position out of turn number eight. Marcus Erickson charging down that back end straightaway, takes a peek to the inside. Harvey's car wiggles a little bit. Erickson, though, going to have to stay in line. Marcus Newgarden streaks away.
Yeah, he's not going to be able to get him just yet. And the thing about Erickson, he's got a lot of drivers to be concerned about behind him. That's Herta, that's Pelot, that's Rosenquist. And again, we should mention the top nine have yet to pit. Rossi had to pit on lap number three because of damage. Singles at 11th, he's yet to pit. And then we get back to 12th place running Scott Dixon. All of those guys came in during the caution period involving Christian Rasmussen. Again, your top five with almost 25 laps complete. That's what it'll be next time by Newgarden, Erickson, Herta, Pelot, Rosenquist, the top five. VK, Grosjean, Porcher, Rob, and Rossi, the top 10 at the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach. 26 laps complete. Newgarden, your leader by 2.3 seconds over Marcus Erickson, Herta, Pelot, Rosenquist, the top five. VK, Grosjean, and Porcher through eighth. None of those drivers had pitted. Rossi pitted on lap number three because of a dust-up with his teammate, Pottawa Ward. He is ninth, and Stingray Rob currently runs 10th. We showed you and talked about, we told you earlier about that issue involving Kyle Kirkwood and the 45 machine of Christian Lundgaard on pit road. The 45 ordered to give up five position because of that contact on pit road. And we talked about where we are in terms of pit stops and pit strategy. Let's get some updates, starting with Ryan Marine.
Yeah, this was about a lap ago, so subtract at least one from these numbers. But I just heard Tim Sindrick tell Joseph Newgarden to expect to come in five or six more laps. So we're looking at roughly four or five more laps from this position right here. He's currently the leader on that strategy that did not pit during the last yellow. One other note, I got a little bit of insight into what might have been the problem for Felix Rosenquist, the pole sitter. Evidently, he was dealing with some rear brake issues. They think they've been able to solve them at least somewhat by using the brake bias adjuster inside the cockpit, and Felix seems happier with his race car now.
How about
Joel Sebastianelli?
Joe?
Worth noting, guys, Scott Dixon is up to 10th. He has gotten around Will Power. Once these guys up front pit, we believe that Dixon would cycle up to first, his last lap, a 1:10:420. It's about a second and a half slower than the leaders, just being fed numbers in his headset right now. And we believe that they are on a moderate fuel save. Wouldn't this be a typical Scott Dixon win to get up to the front when we're hardly even looking at him, just on the outside of the top 10, biding his time and conserving his fuel?
Updates of pit road brought to you by Shell, the official fuel of the NTT IndyCar Series. 28 laps complete next time by Newgarden, Erickson, Herta, Pelot, Rosenquist, the top five. An update from Jake Query.
Mark, last time by, Alexander Rossi was able to get around his teammate, albeit maybe a temporary one, in Théo Pourchaire, who's done a nice job but was running in the eighth position. That means that Rossi, since that restart, had worked his way around those less experienced in front of him, Siegel, Rob, and Pourchaire. So Alexander Rossi, who had come into the back of the pack after that incident with Pato O'Ward, now finds himself running eighth.
Yeah, Davey, there's no question that Alexander Rossi had some bad luck in contact with his teammate, but that caution couldn't have timed any better for him because, as Jake said, he worked his way back up to seventh.
Yeah, that's right. A good run for him, knowing that he's going to have to pit again here soon. Well, he can last longer than most of the drivers in front of him. How about his teammate, though? You got to give Porcher a good shout-out. I mean, that's the first time he's ever set one of these cars. No practice, comes to Long Beach, gets in it, and for a while there, he was the best running McLaren car. So this kid may have a little future over here.
Now, there's no question that out front is the place to be, Davey. Clean green air makes all the difference in the world. Clean green racetrack, we should say, with that clean air.
Yeah.
The lead already 2.6 seconds for Joseph Newgarden.
Yeah, as we see cars starting to peel off coming in, as we see right now. So you're exactly right. You want to be up front. Clean air is so important. And another thing, as we see, as they're starting to peel off pretty heavily now in pit lane, is trying to catch somebody and pass them is two completely different things, especially at this racetrack.
Let's go to Ryan Marine.
Felix Rosenquist, the pole sitter, makes his way to the Meyer Shank Racing Pits. He started on the black sidewall Firestones. He'll go to the greens. The Shell fuel going into the car, no visible adjustments on the machine, just waiting on the fuel. It took about 8 seconds, so a somewhat slow stop for the pole sitter, Felix Rosenquist.
Check in with Jonathan Grace.
Teo Porcher also coming in, a fresh set, or I should say a scrub set of alternate tires as he started on the primary, some fuel as well. He's off and away, a nice clean stop.
And again, the timing of these pit stops important, Jake Query. Take a look at Felix Rosenquist. He couldn't have timed his exit any better because no traffic to impede his exit from pit road.
That's exactly right. Rosenquist is working his way around the fountain now, and when he came back out, he all of a sudden had nothing but real estate in front of him. So Joseph Newgarden, Mark, is going to be the next one we're going to keep an eye on pit road.
Yeah, and things are going to get busy, I think, on that end of pit road among those who have not stopped. How about it, Ryan Marine?
Yeah, we expect that. I think Marcus Ericsson is laid out. I'm standing in the pit box for Joseph Newgarden, and here comes the Hitachi Chevrolet from the race lead. Fuel probe goes in. On go the green tires for the first time at this Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach for Joseph Newgarden. Little slow getting the fuel probe out. It took him 7.3 seconds. He's down and away.
And we see that Delaware Life-sponsored machine of Marcus Ericsson working his way off of pit road. So Jake Query, pick him up. Let's see where they're going to blend back into the racetrack. They're going to have any traffic to deal with into turn number one.
Joseph Newgarden blended in with no traffic at all. As a matter of fact, the car that will be directly behind him will be Marcus Ericsson once they get themselves up to speed. So there was nobody coming in terms of Felix Rosenquist, the next that's up to speed, but the rest of those two already around turn four before Rosenquist at speed was going into turn number one.
30 laps complete now, and we expect the next two to come to pit road would be the last two to come to pit road, and indeed on cue, Alex Palou does, but interestingly enough, it appears as though that Colton Herta is going to turn another lap or two. Let's go to pit road to check in with Joel Sebastianelli.
Alex Palou is on his way in 3-2-1. Hits his marks perfectly from second place, goes off of the blacks and onto the green sidewall tires. His last lap, he was told to push hard. It was his fastest lap of the race. This pit stop, 8.8 seconds.
And again, as we've talked about throughout the course of the day, just as much as anything, Jake Query, they may want to time these stops to where they have minimal traffic coming off of pit road, and I think that's just what Alex Palou has done.
It's absolutely incredible. Palou just saw the leader, or I shouldn't say the leader, but the guy that had been in the lead, Newgarden, before he came in, passing by. So Palou will blend in right behind Newgarden. About an 8-car length disadvantage, but keep in mind, Newgarden at speed, Palou now trying to get through the gearbox to get it.
And all eyes are on Colton Herta now as he works his way off of turn number 9 through turn 10. Now he clears the hairpin, and we'll see if we see Colton Herta this time by, and indeed we do. So here we are. Just about ready to complete lap 32, and believe it or not, that lead will cycle back to Alexander Rossi, but again, he last pitted on lap number 3. So Colton Herta, he led a couple of laps before he came to pit road again here on lap 32, Ryan Marine.
And this was all by design. He was saving fuel throughout that stint, trying to extend it as long as possible. The team elected to go with a set of sticker alternates. They had a set of scuffs alternates up on the wall, but made the change late to go to the stickers. He's down and away in 8 seconds. Colton Herta back in the fight.
And Alexander Rossi, as we mentioned, Davey, last pitted on lap 3, and he felt like that it was time for him to come to pit road as well. And that will cycle the lead back to Scott Dixon, Davey.
Yeah, how about that? Dixon being able to get around power, that's probably the power move, I should say, because right now, I mean, this could be kind of where they line up. And to get by Power was not easy to do. And by the way, not only by him, but 2.5 seconds in front of him. So pretty impressive with Dixon now. He is on the softer compound tires over Power. So that was a little bit of an advantage, but still good run by him. And how about Kirkwood filing into that third spot?
And Nick Yeoman, take a peek a little bit back of the pack after that round of stops. Looked like a pretty well-timed stop for Colton Herta, the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, looks like he's going to leapfrog not only his teammate Marcus Erickson, but Alex Palou as well. So obviously these drivers working an alternate strategy. Right now, Mark running outside of the top 15. But I think Colton Herta might have been the big winner as he came out right behind Joseph Newgarden.
So 33 laps complete now. It's Dixon, Power, Kirkwood, McLaughlin, and Rahal. Now that we've shuffled everything through, then Armstrong, Lundgaard, Lundquist, and Canapino, Santino, Ferrucci in the top 10. Pottawa Ward is 11th, Simpson is 12th, 13th Fittipaldi, 14th Newgarden, 15th Herta. Below is 16th, Erickson 17th, Grosjean 18th, Rosenquist 19th, VK 20th, Rossi 21st, Porcher 22nd, 23rd Robb, 24th Siegel, 25th Blomqvist. A lap down in 26th is Jack Harvey. And out of the race, listed in 27th, is Christian Rasmussen. If you missed any of today's action, check Spotify or Apple Podcast for complete race replays. Then find and follow First to the Flag. Nick Yeoman sits down with your favorite driver to relive their first IndyCar win. With interviews and race highlights, First to the Flag is available on Spotify, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast. 33 laps complete. Dixon, Power, Kirkwood, McLaughlin, Rahal, the top five at the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach.
I think as far as driving goes, it's one of my favorites. You know, it's a super fun track to drive. It has a lot of character, a lot of these sort of medium speed corners, which I think is really fun on a street course. Atmosphere-wise, it's maybe not Monaco, but it's still cool. You know, downtown, it's a good atmosphere here on race day and even the whole weekend. So it's definitely a fun place to be and, you know, a fun place to race at.
Marcus Erickson talking about his love for Long Beach, sent him echoed all up and down these field of 27 drivers. Thanks for listening to the NTT IndyCar Series nationwide on one of these stations, WCMI in Ashland, Kentucky, WPAG in Burlington, North Carolina, and WRNL in Richmond, Virginia. 36 laps complete. Scott Dixon leads by 4.1 seconds. Power, Kirkwood, McLaughlin, and Rahal, the top five. Armstrong, Lundgaard, Lundquist, and Canapino, the top 10. Ferrucci is currently 10th. Simpson, 11th. 12th is Pietro Fittipaldi and Davey. Those guys all last pitted on lap 17. 13th place running Joseph Newgarden last pitted on lap 30. Herta, 32. Palou, 31. Erickson, Grosjean, Rosenquist, VK, Rossi, Porcher. All those guys around lap 29 or 30. So sort all of this pit strategy out with 48 laps to go.
Yeah, well, with 48 to go, you know, if they can really make it, their goal would right now be make it to flat 44. If they can make it to 44, actually, that's where they can make it to 44, 45. They're going to go as long as they can because you got to remember the next window to not have to pit. You have is like 30 laps. So, you know, as they start coming in here pretty soon, they're still going to have to make two stops out of that early stop. Made it a three-stop strategy for those guys all the way down through 12th.
And what makes this interesting is that if you look, Davey, scattered throughout the field, I mean, there's plenty of separation among the top four or five cars at Dixon, Power, Kirkwood, McLaughlin, and Rahal, but it's like from ninth on back from Canapino, Ferrucci, Simpson, and then further back with Herta, Palou, Erickson, those drivers, that's where there's a lot of action.
There is a lot of action. You know, you look at our monitors. You know, I look out the window and try to see where everybody's at, and I look at the monitors, and I see races every corner, almost every screen. So that is a plus. I mean, these guys are nose to tail. They're working hard, and it's not easy. None of these positions are easy to get. But just know, it looks like everybody on here pretty much, except for the last group to pit, those 12 have two more stops to make for sure. Everybody else from there on, 13th, 14th, all the way down, they only have one more stop to make. So it's going to be crucial. If that yellow flies, let's hope it doesn't. Just let it lay out. But sometimes yellows breed yellows. We all know that, Mark. But it's also yellows bring excitement sometimes for all the fans.
Let's go to pit road and Ryan Marine.
The prevailing notion coming into the race was that this would be a green tire race. However, I've been hearing a little bit of chatter about some blistering on green tires, and one in particular was a message conveyed to Marcus Ericsson from Tom Blomqvist on the sister satellite operation for Meyer Shank Racing, reporting some blistering on greens. I just walked past Ponto Awards pit, and a set of greens that came off that car also exhibited some blistering. So that's one thing to keep an eye on as the race progresses.
Specifically, what would lead to that blistering, Davey?
Well, obviously, you're a softer tire. And whenever you have a softer tire, it generates more heat because your corner speeds are up. You're faster through the corners. And as that heat builds up and the rubber doesn't wear off, and it just creates so much heat in that rubber, it just like little craters that pop. But every time they do that, that's less traction on the ground, less tire on the ground. Definitely slows you down. Another thing it does, Mark, out of balance. Once those blisters start coming, the tires get out of balance, the car starts shaking, just makes it really miserable to drive. So this is the warmest conditions we've had the entire weekend. Obviously, these are the longest since they've ran. So with that sunshine out, it's beautiful here at Long Beach, hotter temperatures, rubber creating more heat in those tires that's on this racetrack as well, obviously is working those green tires to the limit.
Augustin Canapino and Santino Ferrucci, that was a pretty good battle. That one has sorted itself out a little bit. We saw Linus Lundqvist pull away from them a little bit. He's trying to track down Christian Lundgaard. We just saw Joseph Newgarden, and Davey, we know he has a fast race car. Newgarden was able to lead 13 laps. He finally worked his way around the 12th place car of Kiffin Simpson.
Yeah, he's definitely a fast car. I mean, I think Power, I looked earlier and I thought Power had the fastest car, but then I think, Dixon does. But you got to remember, they were both on green tires when they were setting their fastest laps. So right now, the fastest lap of the race, let me see, on the move. Well, Dixon on the move. I mean, he's moved up 12 spots since the restart of the race. Power's moved up. He's led 15 laps, Newgarden 13 laps, and Dixon 8 at this point. How about Herta and Rosenqvist all getting laps in, but finding that speed at the end of the race is the most important thing. And with these green tires, the green sidewall softer tires, may be a gamble. I think we're going to see most all these cars on all the primary sorts into this event.
A full field rundown with 45 laps to go. That means 40 complete. Scott Dixon is your leader by 5.9 seconds over Will Power. Kyle Kirkwood is third now. McLaughlin is fourth. Ray Hall is fifth. Armstrong is sixth. Lundgaard is seventh. Linus Lundqvist is 8th, Canapino is 9th, Santino Ferrucci currently running 10th. Newgarden, Simpson, Herta, and Pelot through 14th, Fittipaldi 15th. Ericsson, Grosjean, Rosenqvist, and VK through 19th, Rossi is 20th. Porsche is 21st, 22nd is Robb, 23rd is Siegel, 24th is Pato Award, 25th is Tom Blomqvist, Jack Harvey a lap down at 26th. And Rasmussen out of the race in 27th. And really, Davey, it was that caution brought out by Rasmussen's contact in which he had Jack Harvey mixed up in that on lap number 14 that kind of changed the pit strategy for a lot of these teams, although it was the choice of some of them to allow this to change their pit strategy.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting because it's just how much of a lead can they get. We look at Dixon right now and that how he's only got 19-second lead over Newgarden. Well, you can't make a pit stop in that 19 seconds. I mean, if they pit now, it's going to cycle Newgarden back to the front. And with Dixon, Power, the top 12 having to make a second stop, that could be the open door for Newgarden, Herta, actually, at this point. Herta actually has fastest lap of the race at a 108.02. Then it's Grosjean, Pelot, Power, and Ericsson are the five fastest laps in the race. But, man, I tell you right now, it's looking like coming in early may not have paid off because they're having to do that extra stop.
Any chance that any of these guys, given the number of laps that are left, might be in some fuel save mode, Davey?
Yeah, you know, obviously, I think right now you're trying to get a majority of them in fuel save, and I would say all of the first 12 have to be in, or I should say the first 10 have to be in fuel save at this point just to try to get through. And I think, you know, they made it to 31, I think, or 32. Colt maybe did. I see some 30s up there as well. Opato Ward ran 34 laps with some cautions in there. So, you know, if you can get to that, you know, if you can get to that 50-lap mark, which is an 8 laps, and save some fuel, potentially you can make it on in.
Now, one of the races that we've been watching for the last couple of laps, we're going to dial in on Jake Query. It is a battle for the 10th position. It'll be coming to turn number 5. It's Santino Ferrucci leading Joseph Newgarden.
And I'll tell you what, Santino Ferrucci just did kind of almost like a get heat in the tires move with Newgarden right behind him. Got Newgarden to check up just a little bit into turn number six. Ferrucci, Nick, about a 2.5 car length advantage over Joseph Newgarden.
Yeah, this is Joseph Newgarden, who's kind of P1 in the drivers with the conventional strategy, picking his way through the drivers at the back of the pack that are running the alternate strategy. It is the battle for the 10th position. Ferrucci does a nice job, Mark, holding him off into turn 10.
And again, Ferrucci last pitted on lap 17. Joseph Newgarden last pitted on lap number 30. They have running in front of them, ninth place running Augustine Canapino, and eighth place running Linus Lundqvist. Again, this is the battle for the 10th position. It's Joseph Newgarden, and that's going to go away now, because it looks like Joseph Newgarden, Davey Hamilton, is going to pull away from that battle. It looks like Ferrucci said enough is enough, and he's going to pit road.
Yeah, no, that's really early for Ferrucci. Unfortunately, he's dropping now, 19th, 20th, up there running with Newgarden in that 9th, 10th area. Great run for Ferrucci after what a really hasn't had many laps this week, and a lot of little gremlins in that race car, but we'll see how this works out. Obviously, pitting on lap 43. He can make it quite a ways. He's going to have a little splash and go at the end of this event, but he definitely cannot make it the rest of the way.
44 laps complete next time by Dixon, Power, Kirkwood, McLaughlin, and Rahal, the top five. Armstrong, Lundgaard, Lundqvist, Newgarden, and Herta, the top 10 at the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach. Your favorite sport, now on TuneIn Premium. Listen to live play-by-play of Major League Baseball, the NHL, NCAA, and Premier League, plus every lap of every race, NASCAR, Formula One, and, of course, live coverage of the NTT IndyCar Series. Plus, classic race broadcast 24 hours a day. Go to TuneIn.com or download the free TuneIn app. We are past the halfway point now, 39 laps to go. Scott Dixon with a lead of 7.9 seconds. Will Power, Kyle Kirkwood, McLaughlin, Rahal, Armstrong, Lundgaard, Lundqvist, and Newgarden. Colton Herta is 10th, Pelot 11th, Erickson 12th, 13th Grosjean, 14th Rosenqvist, 15th VK, 16th Simpson, 17th Rossi, 18th Porcher, 19th Fittipaldi, 20th Robb, 21st Siegel, 22nd Pato Award, Canapino 23rd, Blomqvist 24th, 25th is Ferrucci. He just pitted a couple of laps ago, a lap down in 26th, Jack Harvey. And 27th out of the race, Christian Rasmussen. Davey, update us on what you think of the fuel strategy. The top seven cars last stopped on lap 17,
yep,
along with the ninth place running Linus Lundqvist.
Yeah, so what my prediction is they're trying to save a little bit of fuel, try to make it to where it's 39 to go, try to make it four more laps, try to make it 35 to go, and then just save fuel for the rest of the race, make it a one-stopper, one more stop instead of two. I think that's their only saving grace. If they can make it, like I say, four more laps now, and then just save, or hope a yellow comes out later on.
Joel Sebastianelli on pit road.
That's exactly right, Davey. From what I've been listening in to the drivers in the top three, just about the only radio communication is related to those numbers, the interval and the fuel number. With Scott Dixon, they like every single number. Not only are they hitting their fuel marks right now, they're doing so while building that lead over Will Power and Kyle Kirkwood. The gap from first to second, now 7.4 seconds.
That looks like Joseph Newgarden. Jake Query just added another position. He's up to seventh. Lundgaard and Lundqvist are giving chase now as they set up for turn number five.
In the last two laps, Newgarden has gotten around both Lundgaard, and then as well, he got past that machine of Lundqvist. Now Marcus Armstrong will be the next in his sights. But Nick, Joseph Newgarden, you had mentioned it. He is absolutely picking his way, trying to get back up there to those on a different strategy.
Yeah, he's got the fresher tires, and that's why he is starting to charge through these drivers. In fact, he has already caught Marcus Armstrong. Boy, Mark James, that did not take long. Newgarden all over Armstrong in the hairpin.
Yeah, he's going to catch up to him in the hairpin, and he's going to tuck right up underneath him. The question is, can he use that momentum to make the pass down into turn one? This is the battle for the sixth position. It's Joseph Newgarden trying to pick off Marcus Armstrong as they roar back to Jake Query in turn number one.
And that is going to settle itself out in turn number one because Newgarden goes to the inside, makes that pass. So Joseph Newgarden now put him in the sixth position. This is a guy that had the lead early in this race. He saw his teammate Will Power dominate the early portion of this race, but Newgarden now absolutely on rails, but he has another car to get around in front of him. That would be Graham Rahal, that Kleek Kostin Care machine, about 8 car lengths right now, but Joseph Newgarden is trying to reel in Graham Rahal.
The other driver trying to pick his way through some of these cars is Colton Herta. He's on a similar strategy as Joseph Newgarden. Mark, he has caught the back of Linus Lundqvist and Christian Lundgaard as they streak their way down towards turn number 9.
Yeah, Colton Herta trying to make quick work of that duo, just like Joseph Newgarden is, so he can get up and run with Joseph Newgarden. Work their way off of turn number 10. No issues for any of those drivers. This would be the battle for the 8th position. It's Christian Lundgaard, it's Linus Lundqvist, and then it's Colton Herta. These guys continue to slug it out now off of that hairpin, and it looks like maybe that was one of those cars. Lundgaard went off the pit road, so it's Linus Lundqvist, Colton Herta into turn 1.
In the way into turn number 1, Herta not able to make that move. All of this is happening, oh, about 100 to 200 yards behind that battle we talked about with Joseph Newgarden as well. They're going to work their way around the fountain, and we'll check back in with that move to see whether or not Colton Herta was able to make up any ground. Not able to do it now off turn number 5. Herta again, about 3 car lengths to make up. Down to pit road and Joel Sebastianelli.
Christian Lundgaard is off of blacks and onto greens for the first time. Before coming in, he said these tires are shot. A quick pit stop for the 45 team.
How about Jonathan's into pit road?
Graham Rahal's crew getting set as they wait patiently for the man in the fifth place position to come on his marks. They're just waiting right now for him to come onto pit road. They've got a fresh set of sticker alternates. He's done a pit stop already, but it's been primary. So Graham Rahal waiting to switch onto the alternate tires. Here he comes onto his pit box, getting ready to stop on his marks. Tires come off. No more black tires for Graham Rahal. Fuel going in as well. A tear-off strip. Alternates on. 3 turns of front wing, a big one as they turn that front wing clockwise. A long stop as they're waiting for fuel. There's an issue with the fueler. The fuel rig is not coming out. It wasn't connecting. So Graham Rahal is stuck 16 seconds, 17 already on pit road. A horrendous stop for the man who was running in fifth place, 20 seconds.
Oh, Davey Hamilton, what a disastrous stop for Graham Rahal.
Oh, painful that was. And it was something in the fueling nozzle. It just wasn't flowing. I seen the fueler a few times, readjust it, unplug it, plug it back in. Just couldn't get it to flow. Something happened there. I don't even know if they got it full, to be really honest with you. We'll have to ask them that. But horrible stop for Graham.
Updates from pit road brought to you by Shell, the official fuel of the NTT IndyCar Series. It almost got a little more difficult for Graham Rahal coming onto pit road because he wowed it up big time. And Joseph Newgarden almost drive up underneath his rear wing. We see Scott Dixon, your leader, along with second place running Scott Dixon and Will Power coming to pit road. Let's go to Ryan Marine.
Expecting Will Power in here shortly. He was running just a little bit behind Scott Dixon on the track. We'll have that update for you in just a moment. Here is Power. It's going to be a set of scuffed black tires going on the number 12 machine. Pretty smooth stop so far, just waiting on the fuel. Down and away. Now Scott McLaughlin getting ready to go too. Front wing change for McLaughlin. He's on a set of sticker blacks to go the distance. How about an update on the erstwhile leader, Scott Dixon, with Joel?
Dixon did not ask for any adjustments, and why would he? A great stop for a great car. 6.5 seconds, the 9 machine is back out.
And close quarters racing off of turn number 1, and it looks like Scott Dixon's got all kinds of company. I believe that's Pato O'Ward that has pulled up on him going through the field. No, that's Borchier, the rookie, pulling up on him. Davey Hamilton, that's a pretty good drag race around the fountain.
Yeah, what happened is, you know, this pit lane, when you enter off of pit lane, very difficult. And Scott, we came out almost side by side. Scott has the colder tires. Porsche, he was up to speed and had heat in the tires. But right now, Scott, he's doing all he can to stay in front of him going down through turn 8.
And let's pick him up off of turn number 8. Scott Dixon leads the way into turn number 9.
Yeah, that rookie doing a good job hounding Scott Dixon, trying to get some heat in those tires. They make their way down into turn 9. Teo Porcher's going to take a look to the inside. He'll make that pass. Let's go to pit lane. Kyle Kirkwood's in front of Joel Sebastianelli.
Kyle Kirkwood going from greens to blacks. No adjustments asked for either. They get every bit of fuel in the 27 that they can and send him out in 8.5 seconds.
And Jake Query, keep an eye on that 27 car because Porsche and Scott Dixon both are heading toward turn number 1. Will Kyle Kirkwood be involved in that at all?
Kyle Kirkwood is just now coming off of the pit road, so we'll see where he blends in. Kirkwood, that was the sound of him going past. He has Will Power, who is at speed. Kirkwood is going to go ahead and let Power get in front of him in the turn number 1, and that's where Kirkwood blended in.
So let's look at now the pit strategy, Davey. If we go to Joseph Newgarden, who cycles back to the lead along with Herta, Pelot, Erickson, Grosjean, Rosenqvist, VK, Rossi, and Porcher. First through ninth, last pitted, lap 29, maybe 31, 32. Meanwhile, Dixon on back, lap 51.
Yeah, so what happens now with Newgarden, I think the best thing they could do, they might as well come in about four or five laps. And the reason I say that, Mark, is get in and hope a yellow doesn't. Because if yellow comes out, they're in trouble. They'll cycle to the back of the field. So they need to get in that pit window, and then get some fresh tires on, and then just see where they can pick it up from there. Because right now, like I said, if they were to catch or get a yellow flag, they'd be in trouble.
54 laps complete next time by Newgarden, Herta, Pelot, Erickson, and Grosjean, the top five. Rosenqvist, VK, Rossi, Porcher, and Dixon, the top 10. Powers, 11th. Kirkwood, 12th. McLaughlin, 13th. Robb is 14th. Siegel is 15th. Award is 16th. Catapino is 17th. Armstrong is 18th. Lundqvist is 19th. Lundgaard is 20th. Ferrucci, 21st. Brayhall, 22nd. Simpson, 23rd. A lap down in 24th, Fittipaldi. Blomqvist, 25th. A lap down in 26th, Jack Harvey. Out of the race, completing only 14 laps, Christian Rasmussen. He is listed in 27th at the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach.
The leaders are all pitted except for one. Nine and some of these other guys went out on used greens. Something we'll have to think about.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Joseph Newgarden and Tim Cedric talking over race strategy with 30 laps to go. Newgarden, Herta, Pelot, Erickson, Grosjean, Rosenqvist, VK, Rossi, and Porcher, the top nine, but they all lap pitted between 29 and 32. It's from Dixon on back, last pitted on lap 51, Kirkwood 52, and McLaughlin lap 51. You're listening to the NTT IndyCar Series on the streets of Long Beach at one of these great stations, WKJG in Fort Wayne, Indiana, KFNS in St. Louis, Missouri, and KMBY in Monterey, California. And Ryan Marine, you're getting whispers that we might see our leader, Joseph Newgarden, soon.
Yes, I think we're looking at three, maybe four more laps before Joseph Newgarden comes in based on the radio communication. They could go longer, but they want to cover off potential strategy plays that would come in should a yellow flag come in before they make their stop. So let's keep an eye on that, but that appears to be the plan for the Hitachi crew that's out in front at the moment.
And that's kind of what you talked about before we went to break, Davey. I mean, that window opens up pretty soon for those.
Yeah.
And it sounds to me like the in-car audio you heard between Tim Cedric, that's a discussion between he and Newgarden.
Yeah, because what happens right now, Mark, is if they were to stay out, because they have plenty of fuel in their car right now, but if they were to stay out and yellow comes out, it just cycles. They have to pit. That cycles, it would be Dixon, Power, Kirkwood, McLaughlin, all those teams go right to the front. Everybody else would be pitting, filing to the back of the field. Now, Newgarden would still be in good position because there's only how many? One, two, three, four, five, six guys that have pitted on that strategy, or seven, down to Rahal would actually benefit him at this point. So he wouldn't be way back in the field, but he might as well try to cover himself.
And one of the things that we learned, Davey, which we suspected, is the fact that there doesn't appear to be much of a fall-off between the primaries and the alternates.
Yeah, there really does, and a little surprising that the alternate tire is getting a little bit of blistering, so it seems like it's slowing down at the end. But I see majority of these drivers are putting the matter of fact, Grosjean's in right now, putting the softer sidewall tire, softer compound tires on right now.
Yeah, Grosjean, the latest, Davey, among that top seven or eight that we talked about that last pitted in the lap 30s. They are the drivers that have decided that window has opened up for them, and they want to get to pit road. So your leader, Joseph Newgarden, is coming to the hairpin, and we expect to see him kind of duck off and go on to pit road. Herta, Pelot, Erickson, and others, we expect them to do the same. So Joseph Newgarden has the 19 laps on the day, and he heads to pit road for the final time of the day, we think. Joseph Newgarden comes into the view of Ryan Marine.
The 2022 Long Beach Grand Prix winner, Joseph Newgarden, the crew waiting on him right now. Expect to see him coming their way here shortly. In his 200th career start, here he comes. It'll be a set of scuffed greens to go the rest of the way for Joseph Newgarden in the Hitachi Chevy. Just waiting on the fuel. Trouble getting it pulled out of the socket, but he does. 7.3 seconds.
And we'll see when he exits pit road if he has to encounter any traffic. And it looks like he might have timed it pretty well, Jake Query. Although Scott Dixon goes roaring by into turn number one. Jake?
Joseph Newgarden has essentially clean track. That car that you just heard go past his teammate Will Power, but Newgarden's going to have time to get up to speed, get heat in the tires around the fountain area, and turn over five because he blended in at pretty good timing there, Mark.
And we see Joseph Newgarden navigating his way around turns four and five. He is up to speed behind Scott Dixon, but Mark James, the good news is Scott Dixon's still got a pit working that three-stop strategy. So for Joseph Newgarden, I think he just sealed off the strategy, and he's going to have to pray for no cautions here for the last 27 laps.
Yeah, Davey, I'll tell you, that's got to be a tough position to be in the cockpit if you're Joseph Newgarden, thinking that you got to have a little bit of luck now.
Well, it does, and I think the situation with, I don't think anybody else is going to pit. I think that they're going to just lean it down. That's a problem for Power, actually, as Newgarden came out in front of him. I know Power has older tires. He has less fuel, but he can't burn the fuel like Newgarden can, so he's going to fall back there now. Can Newgarden, does he have enough to catch Dixon at this point? We'll see, but right now, Dixon, you know, leader of the pack with those that have a pit. And by the way, it'll be Dixon. It's Dixon, Newgarden, Power, Erickson. So, yeah, Newgarden does have a shot. He's only a second behind Dixon, and he can go full rich where Dixon can't.
Erickson and Rosenquist, Davey, the latest to come to pit road. So just a couple of drivers, Herta, Pelo, and Rossi, they still need to come to pit road.
Yeah, that's right. There's still some more needing to come to pit road to finalize their final pit stop. And there's only a few. As a matter of fact, timing scoring is actually going crazy right now. But it looks like Frucci needs to have one more stop. Lundgaard, he's going to be close. He last pit on lap 49. That's a tie one. I don't think he can make it. But Frucci, for sure, he's going to have to pit again. Harvey's out of the race, obviously, so he doesn't have to. Everybody else should be good to go other than Pato O'Ward. He last pitted on 34 and Canapino at 43.
So, Joel Sebastianelli, you're starting to see maybe a hint of some activity in second place running Alex Pelo's pit.
Alex Pelo's team has been limbering up for about the last five laps. Now they're getting ready to go. They've told Alex they're going to pit this lap, and they're laying out with a set of Wiley tires.
So we see Alexander Rossi is on pit road. So we think Colton Herta also is going to come to pit road very, very soon. With 25 laps to go, Davey, it's best that Herta and Pelo not risk it going to come to pit road as soon as possible.
Yeah, might as well do it. I mean, they really have nothing to gain and a lot to lose. Get on those new tires. They'll have plenty of fuel to take it to the end. The tires are obviously going to last. There's only 25 laps to go. They're well within that window. So it's time to come in and get it done.
Let's go to pit road. Check in with Ryan Marine.
Colton Herta's crew laid out for this final stop. Remember, they went longer than anyone on this strategy on the previous stint by about a lap or two. The GameBridge crew is waiting. I'm not sure how close they are, so maybe we'll go back to you, Mark, but we do expect Colton. Actually, as we say that, here he comes. Colton Herta had cycled up towards the front here on this strategy. It'll be a set of scuffed greens for the GameBridge crew. In goes the Shell fuel. We wait on the fuel, and it is in, and there in a puff of smoke goes Colton Herta.
Is it Joel Sebastianelli?
Alex Pelo is gone on a set of scuffed greens, 8.1 seconds, also with one turn of front wing added.
And it looks like Scott Dixon will be long gone. Be interesting to see where those two drivers cycle back in. There goes Joseph Newgarden and others. Jake Query, how about Colton Herta? Clean exit for him and Alex Pelo off of pit road.
Yes, indeed. As a matter of fact, right when Newgarden was coming around, so we will stop and see the way that they all sort themselves out. Scott Dixon going into turn number six right now. Then you're going to have that gaggle that had to work their way around the fountain just below me right now into turn number six. It's Newgarden, then followed by Tom Blomqvist. Then you get Colton Herta. He has Will Power just behind him. Then Alex Pelo and Kyle Kirkwood.
Yeah, Colton Herta's on cold tires. He's got to get on the horse and try to pull away from Will Power, who's got his warm tires. And it looks like Colton's done just that as they streak out of turn number eight. Colton starts to pull a gap, Mark James, over Will Power, who still has to pit.
So 24 laps to go. It's Dixon, Newgarden, Herta, Power, and Pelo, the top five. Kirkwood, Erickson, McLaughlin, Rosenquist, and Grosjean, the top 10. We'll give you the full field rundown. Armstrong, 11th. Ferrucci, 12th. 13th, Lundqvist. 14th, Lundgaard. 15th, VK. 16th, Rossi. 17th, Porcher. 18th, Rahal, 19th, Simpson, Canapino, 20th, 21st, O'Ward, 22nd, Robb, 23rd, Siegel, 24th, Fittipaldi. The next two cars, a lap down, 25th, Blomqvist, 26th, Harvey, out of the race at 27th, Christian Rasmussen. That is, with 23 laps to go, we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the IndyCar Radio Network. The IndyCar app powered by NTT Data is available for free to fans. Climb on board with in-car cameras, catch up with live timing and scoring and car telemetry info, and listen to the radio broadcast. That's the best part. Download the app today and stay on track with the NTT IndyCar Series. 21 laps to go. Dixon, Newgarden, Herta, Pelot, Power, then Erickson, Kirkwood, Rosenquist, Grosjean, and McLaughlin near top 10. Ferrucci 11th, Armstrong 12th, Lundqvist 13th, 14th Lundgaard, 15th Rossi, 16th VK, 17th Porcher, 18th Rahal, 19th Simpson, 20th Canapino, 21st O'Ward, 22nd Robb, 23rd Siegel, 24th Fittipaldi, lapped out in 25th Blomqvist, Harvey a lap down in 26th, Rasmussen out of the race, he'll be listed as 27th, and Davey Hamilton. A vastly different set of circumstances in this battle to the end. 20 laps to go, and Scott Dixon may not have all the bullets in the chamber he needs, but Joseph Newgarden has a full complement.
Yeah, that's right. So does Colton Herta. Colton Herta and actually Pelot, they all can run full rich. They can go for it. They have plenty of fuel. They can absolutely get after it and do what it takes to try to catch Scott Dixon. Meanwhile, Scott Dixon and Power, those two are—they're saving fuel all they can. Power finds himself in sixth. They're running super lean, taking it easy. But I have to hate to say this: in the last three or four laps, Newgarden's gained about 2.5 seconds on Dixon. So, and there's only, he only has a 3.1 second lead. So if you do the math, he's going to be all over him here in a few more laps.
It's 3.1 seconds right now with 20 to go, and a lap ago it was at 4.2 seconds. The problem for Colton Herta, he's some 5 seconds back, but some insight on that from Ryan Marine.
And maybe one other problem for him to keep an eye on. As Davey mentioned, he's good to go on fuel. He can push hard and not have to worry about that, but he might need to worry about his tires because the left front that came off on that last stop on the green alternates, which he's on right now, did have significant blistering on the inside rim of the left front tire. So while he doesn't need to conserve fuel, he may need to conserve those firestones.
19 laps to go, and the lead continues to be trimmed by Joseph Newgarden. He has knocked it down to 2.6 seconds now as they make their way around the fountain. Joseph Newgarden in that Hitachi machine trying to track down Scott Dixon into turn number five.
Scott Dixon has worked his way under the Laborers International Union of North America bridge. Nick, Scott Dixon into turn number seven with Joseph Newgarden six car lengths behind.
And if there were maybe 5 to 10 laps to go, I'd feel pretty confident that Scott Dixon may be able to hold off Joseph Newgarden, but he's going to have to hold him off for 19 laps. They make their way down into turn number nine. Scott Dixon on the brakes. The advantage stays about 2.5 seconds as Newgarden streaks into 10.
Yeah, it was at 2.4 seconds, and he added a tenth. Now he's lost a tenth. Now he's lost 2/10 through the hairpin. It's 2.2 seconds now as they clear the hairpin and start to head back to the start-finish line. Scott Dixon, Joseph Newgarden with 18 laps to go here at the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach inquiry.
Scott Dixon has to know that Joseph Newgarden is lurking. Is Newgarden going to go ahead and try to make the move now, or does he just little by little, shave, lap by lap, knowing that we've got 18 laps to go? Scott Dixon is the leader, setting up now around the fountain area and coming up for turn number five. And now, all of a sudden, Newgarden comes into view very, very quickly. Scott Dixon now setting up for turn number six. Now he exits turn number six just as Newgarden goes into it. About a 6.5 car length advantage for Scott Dixon.
Yep, the stopwatch shows 1.9 seconds, and as Jake accurately pointed out, on track, that equals about 6 or 7 car lengths. Both of those drivers clean out of turn number eight. Newgarden, that black and white Hitachi car, starting to run down Scott Dixon as they navigate the right-hander at turn nine.
Herta, at the very least, would like to have the third spot on the podium, but that's not a given either because Alex Pelot is charging. Both last pitted on lap 61, so pretty much on equal footing, Colton Herta and Alex Pelot. But again, Dixon, Newgarden, 1.5 seconds to lead down to turn number one.
A couple of interesting slugfests are going to take place in the home stretch of this race. Dixon now starting to decelerate into turn number one. Newgarden just went into one. That's the sound of Herta with Pelot right there with them as they work their way running third and fourth. Scott Dixon continues with that lead, setting up around turn number four, knowing that Joseph Newgarden is lurking. But how soon, once Dixon makes that right-hander in turn number five, does Newgarden come into view? And the answer, quicker than it was last time by. Joseph Newgarden has shaved 2 car lengths away. He is now 4.5 car lengths behind Scott Dixon.
Combined, these two account for 86 IndyCar wins. Dixon looking for number 57.
Newgarden looking for win number 31, and it is tight coming down the back straightaway. It's down to a even 1 second. Call it four car lengths, Marcus. Scott Dixon's trying to hold on.
With 21 to go, the lead was 4.2 seconds. It is down to a single second now as the hard-charging Joseph Newgarden has Scott Dixon firmly in the crosshairs. And again, behind him, Colton Herta, Alex Below. That's a good battle for the third position. Erickson completes the top five. Power, Kirkwood, Rosenquist, Grosjean, McLaughlin, the top ten. As the leaders, under a second. Now the advantage for Dixon into turn one.
Math was never a strong suit of mine. It might not be the friend right now of Scott Dixon either, because Joseph Newgarden continues to shave at that lead around the fountain area, and he knows he's still got 16 laps to go. Scott Dixon has pushed the pass to use, but does he have the fuel to burn through to use it? That's going to be another question that comes into play for the pilot of that PNC Bank machine, because Joseph Newgarden is now just two car lengths behind him, working their way through turn number six.
Restaurants, comedy clubs, businesses to drivers left, and a lot of race fans to drivers right, watching Joseph Newgarden stalk Scott Dixon into turn number eight. He's got it down to about three car lengths as they streak through the shadows underneath the bridges, headed to turn number nine. Newgarden not close enough, but Mark, it may just be a matter of time. It's down to a car length. Here comes Newgarden.
5/10 of a second, the advantage now for Scott Dixon. He swings it left and sets up for the hairpin. He'll want to try to gain as much momentum as he can off of it. He does, starts to pull away a little bit. Joseph Newgarden wiggles a little bit, but Joseph Newgarden has made pass after pass into turn number one. It's 5/10 of a second now. 15 laps to go at the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach to jQuery in turn one.
Just keep waiting for the time they come into view, and all of a sudden my eye realizes that the Hitachi machine is in front of Scott Dixon, but the Kiwi veteran holding him off yet once again as Scott Dixon works his way now to set up for turn number five, and does so with mirrors full of the kid from Hendersonville, Tennessee, Joseph Newgarden, who is trying to get a win here at Long Beach. But again, Dixon setting up for turn number six, and this time it's even closer. Just a car length now separating Scott Dixon and Joseph Newgarden into turn number seven.
Joseph Newgarden opened the season on the streets of St. Petersburg with a win for Team Penske, trying to go two for two in points-paying races. That car wiggled a little bit at the exit of turn number eight. Mark, looks like Dixon's going to hold him off again down into turn nine.
It's holding steady at about 4/10 of a second. It dropped to 3/10 until they exited turn number eight. They are literally nose to tail. Last time around the fountain, we saw it on monitor that Scott Dixon woed it up. Joseph Newgarden had to woe it up. This time, a clean exit for both off of the hairpin. Joseph Newgarden, down to 4/10 of a second, continues to stalk Scott Dixon.
They work their way now into turn number one. Newgarden, again, the old rubber band effect. They work their way into turn number one. Newgarden, once he slowed up, Newgarden fell back. Then he starts to close it up again around the fountain area. Newgarden has to actually get on the brakes just a little bit because Dixon is right there in front of him. There's going to be some traffic that could come into play by the time they get to the last few laps of this race. It's Santino Ferrucci that would be the next in the crosshairs of Scott Dixon. But Dixon's got bigger things to worry about, because Joseph Newgarden continues to stalk out of turn number seven.
High highs for Team Penske. How about some low lows? Just saw Scott McLaughlin, Joseph Newgarden's teammate, very slowly creeping around the racetrack. Mark, looks like he's got problems. As for Newgarden, still can't catch Dixon. He's within a car length out of turn nine.
3/10 of a second this time by through turn number 10, setting up for the hairpin. It is nose to tail, Scott Dixon and Joseph Newgarden. As the old adage goes about the Iceman, catching him is one thing, passing him is another. Joseph Newgarden not able to do it just yet. Scott Dixon bumps it back up to 6/10 of a second now as they clear the start-finish line. 13 laps to go at the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach and jQuery.
Dixon swung it wide entering turn one earlier than he did last time by, perhaps trying to throw off a little bit Joseph Newgarden. Newgarden was not able to make the move as they worked their way now in that 2, 3, and 4 area. Now it's starting to look literally like Scott Dixon is towing Joseph Newgarden around, because they are that close to one another. Coming off of turn number 5, Scott Dixon now, that orange, white, and blue PNC Bank machine, and he has right on his heels once again Joseph Newgarden. Nick Dixon, same as last time by.
And don't look now. For every lap that Joseph Newgarden struggles to get around Scott Dixon, it's bringing two more drivers into the party. In third place running Colton Herta, fourth place running Alex Palou. Mark, they're within 2 to 3 seconds of our race leaders in turn nine.
McLaughlin headed to pit road with what we're being told, gearbox issues. Davey, why can't Joseph Newgarden clear Scott Dixon? Is a matter of not him not wanting to force the issue right now with so many laps left?
Yeah, I think, you know, he's looking at his mirrors, too, as we've seen or just mentioned, Herta and Pelo coming behind them as well. But Scott gets such a good run off of these corners going down the passing zones. Joseph just isn't there. Now, they're both using push to pass. Newgarden has 25 seconds left. Dixon has 88 seconds left. Dixon has more, but he can't use it all the time just trying to save fuel. One thing I do notice about Dixon, where there's no passing, you can't pass, he seems to be really slow through there trying to save fuel, knowing that Newgarden can't get by him. But when it comes to the X's of these corners, he's getting after it.
Yeah, Joseph's had to woe it up plenty a couple of times around the fountain now. Jake Query, it's about 5/10 of a second now off of turn number 5.
They work their way now through turn number 6. Distance, Nick, the same. Dixon leading Joseph Newgarden.
They swing the driver's left to get the good angle into turn number 8. And Scott Dixon has not put a wheel wrong here over these last handful of laps. Newgarden right in the tire tracks. He's got to run down the back straightaway. He'll take a peek to the inside, but he's not close enough. Scott Dixon closes the door. Newgarden back in line to the hairpin.
Dixon can't focus solely on what's in front of him. Now he's got to continue to peek at the mirrors, and that was a really good run. He gets another one into the hairpin. We'll see this time if he can make it happen, although Dixon with a really nice escape out of that hairpin. They are nose to tail. They'll lead 3/10 of a second now as they cross the start finish line back to Jake Query.
This time, Joseph Newgarden's closer going into turn number 1. As a matter of fact, he almost got close enough to shave to the inside on the turn, but Dixon got there first and was able to hold him off. This now, all of a sudden, feels like it may be a fait accompli that Joseph Newgarden is going to pass Scott Dixon. But we're talking about one of the savviest veterans in the history of the sport. As you said, Mark, getting there's one thing, completing it's another. Scott Dixon, Joseph Newgarden right on his heels. But now Newgarden has about 6 car lengths before you get to that duo of Colton Herta with Alex Pelo just behind.
Herta 2 seconds behind the leader, Dixon. Pelo 2.9 seconds. They are running down both of these drivers, and the two leaders are also catching some lap traffic. So this is going to get really interesting. In fact, the lap traffic nearly collided. That's Kipman Simpson, Stingray Rob. Mark, there's some young, inexperienced drivers right in front of our leaders.
These 10 laps complete. The next time by, it's Dixon, Newgarden, Herta, Pelo, and Erickson, the top 5. Power, Kirkwood, Rosenquist, Grosjean, and Alexander Rossi, the top 10. As you mentioned, a whole gaggle of cars, Nick, running well in front of them. They may catch them before we get to the end of this thing. Jake Query, the leader, head back to turn 1.
Worked away now into turn number 1. Dixon has all that traffic in front of him that's gone into turn number 1, but he has a little bit more of an advantage this time by over Joseph Newgarden. But that gaggle of cars that Nick Yeoman had talked about with Santino Ferrucci at the back of it may come into play and become an issue here. Dixon with Newgarden just behind him, then it's Colton Herta and Alex Pelo. They work their way now off of turn number 5. Scott Dixon, this time Newgarden falls back maybe just a little bit. 2 car length advantage for Dixon, then Newgarden. 3 back to Colton Herta, then 2 to Alex Pelo.
Those 4 lap cars are 19th place running Stingray Rob, 20th place running Kipman Simpson, 21st Nolan Siegel, 22nd Santino Ferrucci, and they are right in front of the front 4, Mark James, Dixon, Newgarden, Herta, and Pelo into turn 9.
And with 9 laps to go next time by, Davey, this thing may turn into a 4-car race between Dixon, Newgarden, Herta, and Pelo.
Yeah, it will, absolutely. And as you see right in front of him, there's another 4-car race in front of him. How are they going to catch him? When are they going to catch him? And who's going to take advantage of it? But right now, from Dixon down to Pelo, man, they're on it's only a 2-second difference.
Then here come those cars that Nick Yeoman pointed out. Santino Ferrucci, Kiffin Simpson among those battling in that 4-car battle. And the leaders head back to turn 1.
Almost seems now like the question becomes which happens first. Newgarden's able to get back in on the rear wing of Dixon, or Dixon finally gets to the point where he's got to start picking through some of that traffic, and how will they handle that situation? That's the question now, as we're into the single-digit laps remaining with Scott Dixon still holding off Joseph Newgarden, but Colton Herta has gotten right there on the rear of that Hitachi machine. Alex Pelo there as well. Nick, throw a blanket over 1 through 4.
High drama on the West Coast as Scott Dixon is hanging on for everything he's got ahead of Joseph Newgarden and Colton Herta, who's closed it down to about 3 car lengths as they're all catching lap traffic. Dixon's lead, 3 car lengths. They all get heavy on the brakes, Mark, into turn 9.
And Alex Pelo is trying to catch up and make that a 4-car battle. He has done just that as they exit turn number 10 and set up for the hairpin. It's Kiffin Simpson leading a couple of cars off of the hairpin now, and we've got some contact, and Joseph Newgarden is slow, and there goes Colton Herta, and there goes Alex Pelo. So some issues for Joseph Newgarden off the hairpin. Jake Query, as Scott Dixon heads back to turn number 1.
That means now that it is Colton Herta that will be the next to look at Scott Dixon, but there are back markers in the way. Problems for Joseph Newgarden late. Mark, you were asking what exactly is it that they'll be talking about and doing next year for the 50th version of a race in the Grand Prix of Long Beach, and the possible answer is talking about the 49th, because now all of a sudden Colton Herta finds himself in the advantageous position as the field, with Scott Dixon now falling behind the car of Stingray Robb and the others in front of him, working their way now off of turn number 7.
Newgarden's got it gathered back up, but he is running behind Pelot and Colton Herta, and Mark, we just saw why Joseph Newgarden was so slow in the hairpin.
Davey, we expected some contact in that hairpin with all those cars running together, and that's exactly what we saw.
Yeah, that's what happened. I mean, Newgarden was right behind Dixon. Obviously, he couldn't go any farther forward, but Herta came in just a little bit hot, got into the back of him, lifted his tires off the ground, and then he just stalled it for that split second. Herta was able to get around him and along with Pelot, and it looks like no damage to Herta's car either.
Contact to go with 8 laps to go at the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach. Not over yet by any stretch. 5 laps to go. Dixon, Herta, Pelot, Newgarden, Erickson, the top 5. Jake Query, the leader, set back to turn 1.
Yeah, and Scott Dixon just cleared Kippen Simpson, so he now has another barrier between himself and Colton Herta as they work their way around the fountain area. So Joseph Newgarden got checked up. That put Herta into the second spot. Dixon maintains the lead as they work their way with Alex Pelot running in third off of turn number 5 now. Scott Dixon setting up now for turn number 6. Keep in mind, that's a teammate that he has behind him. That's Kippen Simpson running off pace but serving as a barrier between Colton Herta and Alex Pelot with Scott Dixon in front of him.
And we'll see if Colton Herta can get around Kippen Simpson. He picked his spot on Nolan Siegel a lap ago, right down into turn number 9, but doesn't look like he's going to be close enough to get around Kippen Simpson into turn number 9 this time, so that's going to stack him up behind race leader Scott Dixon.
Santino Ferrucci, Nolan Siegel playing nice, but Davey Hamilton, Kippen Simpson may not play nearly as nice because, as Jake accurately points out, that's Scott Dixon's teammate.
Yeah, it's his teammate. Just broke the tires loose coming off that hairpin. I expect Colton Herta to use a push a pass. He's going to get by him down here in turn 1.
We'll see if he does just that, Jake Query, because they're headed your way.
Colton Herta makes quick work now of Kippen Simpson heading into turn number 1. Pelot wanted to do the same, couldn't do it. Might try to do so off of turn number 5. But again, with 4 laps to go now, Scott Dixon is the leader. Colton Herta has clean eyes on him, but Dixon also, keep in mind, in anything that he might have had to use up and chew up to try to hold off Joseph Newgarden, might have gotten a little bit of a reprieve there. 2 car length advantage over Colton Herta. Then it's Simpson, who is off pace, followed by Alex Pelot, and then Joseph Newgarden.
Simply can't believe that Scott Dixon is still as strong as he is. He's now on lap number 30 on this set of tires, but that's why he's one of the best of all time. His advantage now is 5 car lengths over Colton Herta. Looks like Alex Pelot is going to get by Kippen Simpson, so clean track ahead of our leaders, Mark, into the hairpin.
Got to give Siegel and Ferrucci and Simpson a lot of credit, Davey. They have not wanted to factor into this, and all of those guys have earned some respect from those drivers that are battling it out for the win.
Yeah, and one thing about Simpson, I have to say, he could have really helped his teammate out and hindered Herta, but he did not do that. He stayed there when it came time to let Herta by. He let him by. I mean, he could have went slow in some areas where Herta could have lost a lot of time, but he played fair, so no real advantage helping a teammate out right there. So all the rest of them did the same. We've seen Ferrucci just pull over and let him go by. So, yeah, that makes it a great race for all of us to watch right here with 3 to go and only 6-tenths of a second lead for Dixon.
Dixon, Herta, Pelot, Newgarden, Erickson, the top 5. Power, Kirkwood, Grosjean, Rosenquist, and Rossi, the top 10. So, Davey, what's the advantage now? Does Herta and Pelot, is that big of an advantage, have 10 fewer laps on those Firestone Firehawks?
Well, it's not. Yeah, obviously, that is a difference. There definitely has an advantage on tires. No question about it over Dixon. But the other thing is, Dixon is still saving fuel. There's no question about it. He's still having to save fuel. He's on that softer compound tire. They're gone. So Herta is on that primary tire. Oh, no, he is on the softer tire. They're both on the same compound tire. That helps equalize it out. I'm looking at Colton Herta's right front tire. It looks like the right front might have a little teeny blister in it going down this straightaway. But I'll tell you what, he could make a move right now going into turn 1 on Dixon.
2 laps to go, Jake Query.
That's tell you what, Colton Hurt is right on the rear wing as they work their way into turn number one on this, the penultimate lap. Dixon working his way around the fountain area. And Colton Hurt is right there now on the rear wing of Scott Dixon, who's got his hands full again. But it's not Joseph Newgarden that we expected. It's Colton Hurt now who's gotten up there to fight with the leader. Scott Dixon off of turn number five. Colton Hurt, two car lengths behind him. Then four lengths back before you get to Alex Palou. Leaders running 1, 2, 3. Dixon in front of Colton Hurt.
Yeah, Joseph Newgarden took his shot. He couldn't get it done. Maybe Colton Herta's fate is a little bit different. Through turn number eight, he's got to find about 4 or 5 car lengths as Scott Dixon got a really good charge. It's up to 0.7 seconds as they make their way down to turn number nine with a little over a lap and a half to go.
Scott Dixon last won here back in 2015. Colton Herta more recently the winner in 2021. They will see the white flag as they clear the hairpin this time by Scott Dixon with a lead of 0.6 seconds over Colton Herta. It's all for all the marbles now, Jake Query, as the leaders head back to turn number one.
Scott Dixon just take the best shot from Colton Herta, or is he going to have to work even harder this lap? Dixon now working into turn number one. Herta with about a half a car length to make up as they work their way around that mountain area. Not necessarily a passing zone, so Herta's got to mind his P's and Q's, maybe try to pounce between 5 and 6. Scott Dixon now trying to hold off the driver from Andretti Global, Colton Herta, as they work their way up turn number five. Dixon looks very, very good setting up for turn number six. Herta about 2 car lengths behind, then 3 back to Alex Palou. Scott Dixon set sail now for turn number 7.
Scott Dixon has just been so smooth over the last 10 or 15 laps, and Colton Herta only has a couple more corners to challenge out of turn number 8. He's back about 4 car lengths, charging in that Andretti Global Honda. They'll make their way into turn number 9, both hard on the brakes. Dixon holds them off.
PNC Bank Machine glides his way through the left-hander, turn number 10. Coming off of the hairpin is Scott Dixon with Colton Herta right up underneath the rear wing. A smooth exit for Scott Dixon, and as he comes off of that turn, he will see the Advance Auto Part checkered flag fly, and Scott Dixon, win number 57 in his career. He wins the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach. Colton Herta finishes second. Alex Palou third. Joseph Newgarden has to be disappointed with fourth, and Marcus Erickson completes the top five. Legends have won here, and a legend won here today. Scott Dixon. And Dixon leads 42 laps on the day. The outduels Joseph Newgarden, Colton Herta, Alex Palou, Marcus Erickson, the rest of the field. Your top five, Dixon, Herta, Palou, Newgarden, and Erickson. Power, Kirkwood, Grosjean, Rosenqvist, and Rossi, the top 10. Porcher, 11th. Armstrong, 12th. Lundqvist, 13th. 14th, VK. 15th, Canapino. 16th, Award. 17th, Ray Hall. 18th, Robb. 19th, Simpson. 20th, Siegel. 21st, Ferrucci. 22nd, Blomqvist. 23rd, Lundgaard. 24th, Fittipaldi. 25th, Jack Harvey. 26th, McLaughlin. 27th, Rasmussen. Dixon led 42 laps. Newgarden, 19. 15 power. 7 Herta. Kirkwood led 1 lap. There were just 2 cautions for 4 laps, including at the start, where we got started a little bit late. 6 leaders, 8 lead changes. Davey Hamilton, the legend of Scott Dixon, continues to grow.
Yeah, I was able to talk to him before the race, and he told me, I go, where are you starting at? He goes, 8th. I go, oh, you can get it done from there. And he goes, oh, yeah, I can get it done from there. And he didn't do it the easy way. He did it with a different strategy, but, you know, Scott Dixon, never count him out, that's for sure.
A podium finish for Alex Palou, Jonathan.
Alex, you were so close at the end there. We saw the lap traffic with just a few laps to go, really bunch it up. Did you think the win was in the cards today?
Yeah, I mean, it was tough, man. It was tough. The 9 car did an amazing job, especially Scott. I mean, it was, that strategy was open for everybody, and he made it work. So very impressive. Kudos to them. And yeah, for me, it was good. Starting 6, we didn't really have the speed to match the 9, the 26 or the 2. But yeah, really proud to have our first podium with DHL, to get that number 10 in the podium. So yeah, looking forward to the next race now.
What was it like with some of the graining to try to follow and catch up and attempt to make those overtakes late in the race?
Yeah, I mean, it was really tough, especially with the traffic that you had to use your overtake, and then you didn't really have that much to fight with the other guys. But yeah, anyway, was tough for everybody. So yeah, proud to be on the podium.
It's a Long Beach podium for the defending champ, guys.
And he is ready to go to Barber Motorsports Park, where he is a former champion of that race. And Davey, a manufacturer's championship out of the top 5. 4 of those spots belong to Honda, including the winner, Joseph Newgarden, the lone Chevy in the top 5. And that puts Honda within 8 points of Chevrolet now, 162 to 154.
Yeah, well, that battle, we're going to talk about it all year, Mark, and it's going to stay close all year long as well. And earlier this week, it started with Honda being on top, then it was Chevrolet, and now it finishes with four of the Hondas in the top five. But we'll go down to Ryan.
Chance to speak with our winner of the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach, 57th career win for Scott Dixon. But tell us, how difficult was that final stint as Mike Hole comes in for a hug?
Thank you, man. Great. Thank you so much, man. That was all you guys. Thank you.
There's the message to Mike Hole. It's all you guys. That strategy, that's what puts you guys out front.
Definitely. You know, we were probably thinking there was going to be more cautions and it would have been a little bit safer, but those didn't come. So I didn't really, you know, follow the fuel number that we needed to get early on to detail, and it kind of caught up with us a little bit later, but huge credit to the team. Had a bit of a rough start to the weekend, but as I keep saying, this is a Acura home race. Honda, all the employees are here, so huge thank you to everybody at HRC and Honda, and obviously getting that mega fuel mileage there got us the victory, so that was huge.
How tough was the final stint, saving tires as well as the fuel? I'm looking at your right front, and it looks like it's been through the ringer.
Yeah, they were holding on. You know, credit to Firestone. Obviously, the softer tires are really hanging on. We did over 30 laps on both of those sets, you know, and that's tough to do, so that's why the car's good, man. It's good to drive, and it doesn't have really too much dig. But thank you to everybody coming out to Long Beach. Huge weekend for us, and love winning here, man. It's big.
I believe this is now 20 consecutive seasons with a win in the IndyCar Series for you. That's a remarkable statistic.
I like the sound of that, man. We're going to keep that going. So, you know, again, it's just a credit to the team and what they do, and just so happy to drive for such a powerhouse and keep that winning going, man.
Now a two-time winner on the streets of Long Beach. That is Scott Dixon. Joel Sebastianelli.
Joseph Newgarden was close to standing in victory lane until contact. You lived it. Now you've had a chance to see it a moment ago. What's your take on the incident with Colton Herta?
Just unfortunate to finish back. You know, I was thinking we were going to get a run on Dixon there, and just couldn't quite get him. So the team did a great job. I was really, you know, can't be more proud than of the work we did. Fast car, great pit stops. They were aces all around. So it was good team effort, and, you know, top five, we'll have to take that today.
No action for that. I know you just had a chance to talk to Colton. Do you think that's just a clean racing incident?
Do I think it's a clean racing? What's your opinion on it?
I actually haven't had a chance to look at it besides watching it in real time. Do you think that that's something that should be penalized?
Well, it seems pretty black and white to me, but I'd ask the question to everybody else. You know, if it was in the reverse, I would expect to be penalized.
Let's try to end on a positive note. A win and a fourth, still pretty darn good for this team. How do you feel about the progress you've seen out of this first month of the season?
Yeah, great. Team did amazing. Just amazing. Can't speak highly enough about them.
All right. Joseph Newgarden, fourth place finish today.
Yeah, and I think once the dust settles, he'll see that he was he's plus seven in the points, Davey. Obviously frustration by Joseph, but he's plus seven and now leads the points by 12 points. I know we're early on, but still a good couple of races for Joseph Newgarden. Davey Hamilton?
Sorry about that. I hit the wrong button. Yeah. So we'll go down with Jonathan to Herta first. I'll come back to you, Mark.
Colton Herta, runner-up today. It was crazy at the end there. Talk us through first what happened with Joseph Newgarden at the end. We saw no action on it, but I want to hear from your perspective.
Yeah, I mean, I just misjudged it. I carried a little bit too much speed into the hairpin, got into the back of him, which wasn't terrible, but I think he got anti-stall from the rear tires lifting, so that's what really killed him and killed his run. I feel bad. I got a lot of respect for him. I don't want to race him that way. I don't want to gain positions that way. But that's just how it happened today. So definitely keep that in the back of my mind for the future to not do it again.
Let's talk about your second place finish today. You were chasing down Dixon at the end there. How close were you to the win?
I mean, he was having to save fuel, so that's why we were so close. But I think I used the tires up too much trying to get up there and get behind him because I didn't really have much at the end. But, so good job to him. But our Gamebridge Honda was on rails today, and it was cool to be here at the Acura Grand Prix Long Beach and have Hondas finish 1, 2, 3.
Thanks, Colton. Ryan, to you.
Marcus Ericsson brings home a top five finish. Just exchanged a few words with engineer Olivier Boisson. Are you happy with the top five? It seems like maybe there's a little more on the table.
Yeah, I think the car was definitely fast enough to win. And, you know, we were running second there in the beginning. I did a really good start in first stint and pretty dicey out there. Did some good overtakes. And then, yeah, we lost a bit on the first pit sequence, dropped back to fifth there. So we need to look at what happened there. But overall, you know, we had the technical issue in St. Pete, but we were running top five. So we needed a solid result to sort of get our season going. And I think we got that today. So I'm proud of the 28 crew, and you know, Andretti did a really good job.
Strong pace in both races so far for Andretti Autosport. A top five to show for it here at Long Beach for Marcus Ericsson. Jake Query.
It was a top 10, as a matter of fact, ninth for Felix Rosenquist in the AutoNation Series XM machine. But you started on pole. I know you probably expected at the outset for things to go better. Take me through essentially the first stint of the race.
Yeah, I think the first stint was the one where we essentially lost the race a little bit. We had some issues with the brakes. They ran really hot, and I was just completely off with my bias and had to chase it and just lacked braking performance and kept getting passed into turn one, inside and outside. And yeah, it wasn't. I just didn't really have braking confidence. And if you don't have that, you can't protect and you can't go forward. So yeah, we have to look at that. It's something that we've been figuring out. Like 2-3 laps have been good, and then anything beyond that has just been going a little bit out of control. So but anyways, the guys did well. I think we kept our heads cool anyways, even if it sucks. Like, it sucks going plummeting through the field. But
well, the good news is you got a week to bounce right back, right, when we get to Barber. Is there anything from this track, a street course, that translates to a road course where you can maybe kind of learn and make the adjustments?
Not really. I think just procedural things, you know, what happened today. We got to replay that and see how we can tackle it differently. Fuck.
Bless you.
Sorry. How to tackle that differently, you know, if that scenario appears, what tools do we have? It's obviously hard when you get thrown into the deep end in the race. But, yeah, I'm sure we'll figure it out. You know, I'm just frustrated, but it is what it is. It's a top 10. We'll take the points and move on.
All right, we'll see you in Alabama.
Thank you.
That's the pole sitter, Felix Rosenquist. Mark?
Yeah, talking about the points, Davey, Joseph Newgarden, your leader, Scott Dixon, 12 back. And let's see, but others in contention, Alex Palou is 24 points back. Colton Hurt, actually, third, 15th points back. And yep. Will Power is 26 back. And Padua Ward, Felix Rosenquist, Kyle Kirkwood, they're all right there. But, Davey, a lot of points up for grabs over the next 5 or 6 weeks.
Yeah, you know, right now it's exciting because it's early in the season, and we see what, you know, we've only had a race in. And so this second race, Scott Dixon moved up 7 positions in the points championship by winning that race. So pretty impressive. Colton Herta moved up 2, and Palou moved up 2 as well. So the ones that struggled today, obviously, is Pato Ward dropping 4 positions, Will Power dropping 1 in the points championship. Never good to drop when you're that early in the season. And then how about this, dropping 7 positions was McLaughlin. Had a gearbox failure, nothing of his doing, but that's just part of the mechanical, you know, everything you got to put everything together, win this championship, Mark. And right now it's super exciting. Can't say you know enough about what Scott Dixon does. You just, you know, you can't deny the wins that he has and how he goes about it. And he's a playmaker. He's a difference. I know that team's great, and Chip gives him everything he needs to, and they have great people there. But man, put Scott Dixon behind a wheel of a race car, and if you have a chance to have him, you got a little bit of magic on your side.
Yeah, I tell you, Davey, you talk about all the young guns, and maybe a swing in the pendulum in terms of the balance of power. Scott Dixon reminds us he's going to be around for a little bit, huh?
Yeah, I mean, just when you wonder, how long is he going to do this, right? I mean, he's won in 20 consecutive years in this series. He's got over 50 wins. I think it's 57, actually, this today or something like that. It's like, is he ever going to slow down? And he is just such a class, great guy. But he gets the job done. He just continues to do it. And one thing with these young kids, I promise you, they're watching everything that Scott Dixon does, because what a career he's already had. He's continued to set records in his record books and being a class guy to boot.
Well, Davey, well done on figuring the pit strategy. As always, you're absolutely the best at it. We're lucky to have you. We wish you safe travels. We'll see you at Barber next week.
Yeah, can't wait for Barber, Mark.
More time, your full field rundown. Scott Dixon, your winner. Colton Herta was second. Alex Palou was third. Joseph Newgarden, fourth. Marcus Ericsson was fifth. Power, sixth. Kirkwood, seventh. Grosjean, eighth. Rosenquist, ninth. Rossi was tenth. Porcher, a great debut for him. He comes home at 11th. Armstrong, 12th. Lundquist 13th, VK 14th, Canapino 15th, Padua Ward 16th, Ray Hall 17th, 18th, Robb, 19th, Giffen Simpson, 20th, Siegel, 21st, Ferrucci, 22nd, Blomqvist, 23rd, Lundgaard, 24th, Fittipaldi, 25th, Harvey, 26th, McLaughlin, and 27th, Christian Rasmussen. There were 6 leaders, 8 lead changes. Dixon led twice for 42 laps, 19 to on 2 occasions for Joseph Newgarden. Will Power led 15. Herta led 7. Kyle Kirkwood led a lap. And as we mentioned, just a couple of cautions for four laps, including the opening lap, when we had some race control issues and had to start under caution. But Scott Dixon, the winner. Herta, Pelot, Newgarden, Erickson complete the top five. The Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach has been brought to you by Firestone, the official tire of the NTT IndyCar Series, for redefining the limits. Advance Auto Parts, official checkered flag of the NTT IndyCar Series. Pennzoil, official motor oil of the NTT IndyCar Series. American Medical Response, official partner of the NTT IndyCar Series, and the AMR IndyCar Safety Team. By Coors Light, cold as the Rockies, Coors Light is proud to be the official beer partner of the NTT IndyCar Series. Coors Light, choose chill. Racing Optics, the official aero screen and helmet tear-off of the NTT IndyCar Series. By Hinchman Racing Uniforms, nothing fits like a Hinchman. The Indy Racing Experience, the fastest seat in sports. BorgWarner, official turbochargers of the NTT IndyCar Series. By Safety Clean, official environmental service partner of the NTT IndyCar Series. By Shell, official fuel of the NTT IndyCar Series. Evolve Transporters, official transporter of the NTT IndyCar Series. And by NTT, official technology and title partner of the NTT IndyCar Series. In the pits today, Ryan Marine, Joel Sebastianelli, and Jonathan Grace. Our turn announcers were Jake Query and Nick Yeoman. Master control operations in our Indianapolis studios by Sam Rumsen. Satellite and technical support by Scott Burgett and Matt Weiss. Our chief engineer is Rick Evans. The network director is Chris Polly. Our executive producer is Kevin Sublin. This is Mark James inviting you to join us again in 1 week for the next NTT IndyCar Series race. Join us for every lap of the Children's of Alabama Indy Grand Prix from beautiful Barber Motorsports Park in Birmingham, Alabama. Our pre-race coverage starts at noon Eastern, followed by flag-to-flag coverage. And don't forget, you can find every NTT IndyCar Series race broadcast, including this one, from the streets of Long Beach, replayed on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The preceding was an exclusive copyrighted presentation of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network.